I don't know what to do. My voice is weak. It's weak. Anyway, if I had this part in the picture, you know, it puts me right back up on top again. But this man out there, he won't give it to me. The head of the studio.
What's his name?
Waltz. Waltz. He won't give it to me. And then he says, there's no chance. No chance. Months ago, he bought the movie rights to this book, a bestseller. And the main character, it's a guy just like me. I wouldn't even have to act. Just be myself. Oh, Godfather, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turn down a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do? What is that, man?
Look, you spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. You look terrible. I want you to eat. I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, that's fantastic. Am I allowed to repeat it on the air?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Then we wouldn't be able to laugh so heartily.
Okay. Everybody just ignore that right now. That didn't happen. And gone. All right. Why, hello. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Tuesday, and welcome to day 12. Thank you for coming along, my chums, my compadres, my radio companions. It's 503-733-2970. You'd like to join us today, 503-733-2970, with your comments, your clarifications, your 2 cents, your corrections, your what have you. Scotty J is standing by, ready, willing, and able to pass along your observations about the exciting, the exotic, the tedious, or the mundane. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. All right, so there you go. And I was all torn about which Godfather sequence to use. That's the one I went with, though, because it's got... The great thing about that is it's got the, you can act like a man, and then the audible slap right there that he gives it. I don't even know who the guy is who plays Johnny Fontaine. But just the fact that Brando, and you can tell that they... You can tell that Brando wasn't pulling any punches there. He full-on gave the guy the slap on the face. And the great thing there is that Brando hits him, and then they cut right to Tom Hagen, or Robert Duvall, who has that great smirk in the corner. It's a fantastic sequence. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I simply have this observation to make. Are you aware that Wendy's now serves something called a Baconator? See? I don't even care if you like bacon or not. And who doesn't like bacon? You know, Tim, they have...
I think I can name one person in this room that doesn't like bacon.
Now, do you eat vegan bacon? Like, will you... Is it the actual just eating of a pork product that you don't like, or is it the flavor? If there was
well,
like
either.
A,
I wouldn't eat an animal product.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, though, is if there were a soy bacon.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Well, I do eat vegan sausages.
So like a fake bacon you would... Like if they had some sort of tofuinator or something.
Yeah.
Some variation. Speaking of which, I still got to get online and buy that bacon salt so I can start sprinkling it on things. Also, have you seen those bacon mints that they sell? Have I talked about this?
No.
They sell those bacon mints?
Bacon mints, bacon powder. We've talked all bacon.
We ought to have some sort of bacon-themed listener event at some point. Like an all-you-can-eat bacon night or something. It's a great idea. You know it's a great idea. Look into your heart. You know, yes, Scotty J. All the, that's actually really funny. Scotty has noted that all these various combinations and these various conversations and these various observations we've made about bacon, an endless series of bacon bits. That is funny. Well done, Scotty. All right, it's 503-733-2970, but I drive by, I go up Powell, and I drive by that Wendy's, and it's in a huge type. The sign doesn't say anything else. Normally, the sign out there says something like, you know, try our drive-thru, or three for one, or, you know, also try our lovely heart-stopping French fries, or whatever the hell. But it just says, in huge letters, the Baconator is here. And I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, same thing at Tanner's Point.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't describe the Baconator to you. I mean, obviously it has a lot of bacon on it, but I mean, beyond that, I don't even really know. And I realized that beyond that, I don't even care. Beyond that, it doesn't even matter. I mean, all you have to do is say Baconator, and I am there. So on the way home today, I'm going to buy myself a Baconator. Doesn't matter. I don't care. And if they got that other thing, the thing that I will not be trying, but McDonald's has that. We're living in some sort of a golden bacon era right now. The bacon has come a long way. Bacon has come a long way, just like coffee has. I remember growing up, like I remember myself growing up in the 70s and the 80s, and I've talked about this before, that I thought it's sort of like Folgers was upscale coffee because it was mountain grown. And you know, when you think about it, that's retarded because all coffee is mountain grown. I mean, all coffee everywhere is grown on a mountain. I mean, seriously, all they really had was that logo where the mountain, like the N and the T were sort of pointed up in the font, and so the word mountain kind of looked like a point. And so I thought, well, that's it. Look at this exotic logo they have. This must be superior coffee. That's not the case. And then growing up, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Folgers. It's very run-of-the-mill. And then growing up as a kid, I had no knowledge of or access to exotic bacon. The bacon, you just go to the store. You go to Safeway. Again, it's perfectly passable bacon, but it's very thin. It's not flavored in some exotic fashion. Now you can go to the store. You can buy that thick. It's like half an inch thick, that applewood bacon. Come on, that's living right there. I'm just saying, now is a good time to be a bacon lover. Because McDonald's has that billboard for that new bacon.
I don't think you're going to stop.
I'm just saying. McDonald's has that billboard for that new bacon product. It's another name like Baconator. It's like the Crispinator or something. Or the Bacon Crispitality. It's some weird, long, overly flourishy name. It really is. It looks wonderful. I won't be trying it. Because I'll be too busy eating the Baconator today. In case you're wondering where I'm going to be later. Really? Are the people already calling about the bacon? I should have known. I should have known that the words bacon, like just the first three syllables, would have left my mouth and people would be picking up the phone to weigh in on it. All right, well, we'll talk about the Baconator here in a second. Coming up later on in the program, Lisa Goddard will be joining us today. Also, should we talk about the Alberto Gonzalez thing is still going on. I thought that we'd moved on from that as a culture because no one really cared about it. But apparently she's just got her teeth sunk deep into that and continues to talk about it. Dick Iuliano's going to be weighing in on that YouTube debate. I guess the presidential debate took a bunch of questions on the YouTube last night. And of course, I do believe the first question was from a guy in Portland, Oregon. And I am fairly sure, although I did not watch it, I am fairly sure that the first question came from Portland, and the first words out of the Portland guy's mouth were, "What's up?" So there you go. Thanks, Portland. Making us look wonderful, as always. CNN Radio correspondent Dick Iuliano will talk about that. Jim Roop will be joining us later on to talk about the new host of The Price is Right. We announced this yesterday that it's going to be Drew Carey, and I'm pretty sure that he's got exotic and exciting news about Lindsay Lohan as well. So we'll fry her bacon here in just a second. What else?
You've been tying bacon into that.
Now, I know that was conscious. I was going to say fix your little red wagon because that's my go-to phrase, but then I decided to change it up. Bam, make it relatable. There you go, bacon. Why are you hitting your head into the microphone? You love bacon.
I don't love bacon.
Do you not love bacon?
Good for you.
It just seems.
Yeah,
not
it
worth,
seems what?
It seems not worth all the grease and fat. Like if I'm gonna eat something really really bad for me, I want it to feel worth it. And after bacon, it's gross and you feel empty.
Nah, you're eating the wrong bacon, Sarah. You just need the right bacon.
And you've eaten one of God's creatures. You'll be paying back for that later in your life.
Seriously. I remember there was about 4 days as a kid when I felt, after seeing Charlotte's Web, I felt really bad about eating bacon, and then I got over it. But it's there was a small window of time where I kind of felt a little shoddy about the whole thing. Also this, Sarah, what is...
Kennewick Caviar.
Kennewick Caviar with two Ks. Kennewick Caviar is just carp eggs. Here you go. Who wants a carp snout? All right. Carp is a great word. I love the word carp. Hey, Sarah, what is David Beckham's nickname?
Golden Balls.
There you go. The more you know. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do introductions and teases all around here in just a second, and then we'll begin today's headlong plunge into the tedious and the trite. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How may I help ye?
You talking to me?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, that's fantastic. First of all, I'd like to say that I am both a Emerson Army soldier and a glorious bastard, and I'd like to ask Sarah about how her soapbox racer is coming along.
It's slowly but surely. We're trying.
Right on.
Yeah, we're. Everyone seems to be missing, like leaving different weekends, so we're trying to finally get it together.
Let's
but
just,
yeah, we'll be ready to go.
Let's just boil it down. You're the only one who really cares, and your friends are slackers.
No.
That is exactly how I am. I've got one in the makings, and it's just impossible to get people scheduled.
And so, what is it now? Can we ask what the theme of your soapbox thing is going to be, or is that improper? Is it considered gauche to ask?
No, you can ask.
What's the theme of your soapbox derby car?
Have you ever read the comic book Transmetropolitan?
No, I have not, sir.
Okay, well, kind of based on that, but it's kind of a mix with the TriMet 14 bus.
Okay, all right.
So
then.
It's going to be a mix between a kind of a post-apocalyptic dystopian public transit.
Interesting.
Sort of, okay. So something that conceivably could have come out of the landmark animated film Heavy Metal?
Heavy Metal, or slightly, if you wanted to go a bit, you could go Futurama.
Okay. I can see that. All right. So a combination of sort of broken down and futuristic.
Exactly.
Excellent. That is, and by the way, extra points for use of the word dystopian in its correct context.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I would also like to raise the AM970 flag, as it were, and I would love to have some stickers of you for you guys on the racer.
Oh, some AM970 stickers.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Let's see. How do you live in the city?
I do.
Stop by the building. We'll absolutely get you some. I was gonna say, if you live way out in the boondocks or something, we can mail them to you. But yeah, just stop by the radio station, and Dave Zinn will hook you up, my friend.
Okay, I don't know where that is.
We're on First Avenue, 2040 Southwest First.
All right, sounds good. I'll do that today.
All right, thank you, my friend. We appreciate it, and thank you for being a glorious bastard. God bless you, sir.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. All right, there you go. Don't forget this week, Glorious Bastard of the Week this week gets tickets to Rockfest the 12th, which is happening later on in August. So if you have not signed up to be a Glorious Bastard, you're going to do that. It's 970.am. Let's see. Hello, sir. You know about the Baconator.
Yes, I decided to give you a little heads up. It has like 6 pieces of bacon on top, so you might want to clear out your schedule, because after I ate one, I took like a 4-hour nap.
See, that's the mark of a good meal, when you feel like you're going to go hibernate for about 4 days.
Yeah, basically. Like, you might not want to eat anything for about 2-3 days, and then go look into the Baconator.
Is it a beef patty with cheese? And I mean, is it basically just a cheeseburger with lots of bacon?
It's kind of like one of those stack deals they got on, like multiple patties, and then like Lincoln Log style, like 6 pieces just crammed on top.
What quality is the bacon? Is the bacon thick? Is it thin? Is it crisp?
I'd give it like a solid B grade if I was a teacher.
All right, excellent. So the Baconator, how much could I expect to pay for the Baconator?
I do believe it is like $3-4.
All right, $3-4. That seems reasonable. All right, excellent. You know, because I'm not a huge fan of fast food, by which I mean, you know, drive through. I mean, I'll eat junk food, but like drive through, like hamburger type fast food, I don't really do. But when I do eat fast food, I'm not being paid to say this. I either go to Wendy's or I go to Arby's. Those are the two places. So excellent, the bacon. I'm gonna get one of those today. Thank you, sir.
You should definitely make sure you get a Frosty and a fries, and then dip the fries in the Frosty.
See, See, I thought only girls did that. I thought this call was dumb, but now we're not even close to being done. I thought that that was a typically female trait, no offense, to dip French fries into either a Frosty or I knew in high school, and I thought it was a Kennewick thing, too. A lot of girls who will dip their fries into their, like, McDonald's milkshake. And right. I did not know that that was a thing that guys did, too. So it's sort of like a sweet and salty sugar and spice kind of a thing.
Exactly.
All right, excellent. The Baconator. I'll hit it today. Thank you, my friend.
Right on.
There you go. A little throwback, a little callback there. The McDonald's banner ad. You remember that, right? The McDonald's I'd Hit It banner?
No. Well, I think we've talked about this.
You don't remember that? Mm-hmm. There was this great misguided attempt at viral advertising that McDonald's... I keep saying McDonald's like Douglas Adams. That McDonald's did a couple years ago. Because they were clearly... They had just no idea what they were talking about. And there was some idiot in a conference room somewhere who sold them on a little piece of advertising. And it was an online... I've got it saved somewhere. A banner ad. And it was a long rectangular horizontal rectangle. And it was a guy looking sort of sideways. He looked like the Crab Man from My Name Is Earl. Just and he was sitting there sort of looking sideways at a cheeseburger that was at the opposite end of the banner ad. And then the tagline written right in the middle of the banner was "I'd Hit It," and then it just said McDonald's. And so it was this man looking at a cheeseburger, and the banner said "I'd Hit It," which of course is a euphemism for "I would have sexual intercourse with it." And so that's a banner that makes no sense. So McDonald's was clearly misinformed about the nature of the phrase "I'd Hit It" before they used that. One more call, and then we'll find out what else is going on today. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, there's something very wrong with Sarah that she doesn't like bacon.
Yeah, but we don't hold it against her. Look, everybody's got their preferences. I firmly believe, and I don't mean this in a sort of you just need the right guy kind of way, maybe you've had the wrong bacon. Because if you're eating discount or budget bacon, I can see that. Because you get to the end of the bacon, you just kind of go, nah, I just feel like I need to go hurl somewhere. You get a really good quality, thick, like an Applewood bacon. That's pretty much as close to that's as close to 72 virgins as you're going to find in this life.
Right, right. Well, one of my faves is the bacon from Trader Joe's, the Fearless Franks.
Right, right.
Very good.
I'm kind of a Pasta Works man myself when it comes to bacon. We could do a whole bacon taste test of some kind, a bacon eating contest. I do believe this is the key to the male demographic, is some sort of bacon themed event.
I am going on vacation Labor Day weekend, so you can have like two whole things of meat eating in here without a problem.
Have Carl Click come in and
When I was growing up, we had two pigs. One of them's name was Ephraim, and the other one was Link. I knew the score early.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillman. How you doing?
Good. I was woken up at 7 o'clock this morning with the news of Lindsay Lohan, which I'm appreciative for.
Are you just nauseated by all the bacon talk? You've kind of got this weird look on your face.
No, just... You've been talking for 20 minutes about bacon.
You know, guys love bacon. Sarah.
Yes, I'm sure they do. And I am out of the demographic, so
the only thing better than bacon would be, I don't know, if there was some sort of
pickle
place where you could eat. Now you're making fun. Can I get a brine-covered egg? No, if you could just...
some head cheese on the side?
Go something. Now, see, you're wrong about this. See, I will not have bacon sullied and misrepresented in this fashion. Bacon is not in the same category.
You're talking to a vegan and a person that doesn't like bacon.
That's why, of all of us, I am the one qualified to make this observation. I'm just saying, bacon does not fall into the same category as head cheese. I understand that it is tempting to paint with a broad, meat-flavored brush, but it really is not the same thing. Bacon is loved by all peoples, across all cultures, and all classes.
I can just see those pigs dancing to the slaughterhouse.
Just going to move on now. I'm sorry. So you were woken up to what, Sarah?
Oh, to my friend text messaging me with news of Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and so this is... When did this happen? Last night or this morning?
This morning at 2:15 a.m.
Oh, she is effed.
She is so screwed.
Yeah, she's completely effed.
Oh, my God.
Because we're living in a post-Paris world.
Yeah.
And of all places... You know, she gets busted in Santa Monica where everyone goes to sleep at 9 o'clock at night and the streets are deserted. If you want to get busted, drive on the streets of Santa Monica.
Yeah, because you'll stand out. Yeah.
Oh, have you seen her mugshot?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. It's on my blog.
Okay, now...
It's terrible.
Here's the thing is that Sarah, of course, we all have our specialties on this program. I mean, we're all kind of dilettantes. I mean, everybody here is sort of good at a little bit of everything. But we all do have our specialties in our area of... what is that Naven Johnson says? We have our special purpose. And, you know, and I kind of know music stuff and, you know, some, like, geeky movie stuff. And, you know, of course, Tim is the master of all things Cold War-oriented, all things, everything that, you know, that is said by a guy in a gray flannel suit wearing a Stetson. Tim knows all of that stuff.
And blowing cigar smoke in a dame's face.
Exactly. Anything that involves a guy chasing his skirt and getting into his jalopy before he pours himself a glass of breakfast.
The madman.
Tim knows that whole world, and Tim knows a lot about the media. And then, of course, Sarah has the worlds of... Sarah's our liaison to the youth of America, and also anything that has to do with celebrities looking retarded or ridiculous or criminal or felonious. And so... You have amassed all of these Lindsay Lohan fun facts that you're going to be dropping in, maybe all at once, maybe throughout the program.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the mugshot. Now, is it good? And by good, I mean, is it amusing to us?
It's not. You know what? I thought that, because when Angela called me this morning, I thought that I'd be more giddy about it. But just coming and seeing this and reading it, it's just really sad.
Really?
And she looks just awful. And she looks like somebody who is just... She reminds me of, like, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she looks as somebody who's just, talent. Like, fallen off. I don't know. I think she's a pretty good actress.
Really? I only ever saw her in... I saw Mean Girls, and then I saw... Was she in that movie where they lived in a Walmart? No, that was Natalie Portman. What's that other movie? Mean Girls, and what else would I know her from? I
she
didn't see the Love Bug.
She was in Bobby.
Thing. Oh, Bobby. She was good in that. No, you're right. She was good in that. Well, those days are gone.
And she was in Freaky Friday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, you want to see your mugshot?
Yeah, I do. Who am I kidding? Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what she looks like? She looks like, well, A, any number of people arrested in Clackamas, and B, like when they do that 15 series of meth shots where it's like the woman in 1989 and then the woman in 1994.
She totally
does. Picture number five. She's about a third of the way through that meth time-lapse photography cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah.
You know,
she had cocaine in her pocket.
That's hard.
And brought
believe.
It to the gas station, to the police station with her. So not only is she getting in trouble for having possession of cocaine, she's having for getting in trouble for bringing a controlled substance into a police station.
Jesus. It's just so hard to feel sorry for her. I mean, it really is. I mean, I know I should, but I just don't. I mean, I don't know why that is, too. I don't know why...
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for her because she seems like a brat.
Yeah,
But I do think it's sad.
I mean, I really did have... I mean, it's relative sympathy because he's rich and famous and blah, 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 blah. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for junkies, regardless. I remember... I mean, I did sort of have sympathy, and I think we all did. I mean, for Robert Downey Jr., I remember when Robert Downey Jr. was, or, you know, he hasn't gotten in trouble for a long time, though. It's been several years, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I remember when Robert Downey Jr. was going through the whole thing, I remember I did kind of feel bad for him because he does seem like such a really, really talented guy. And she seems talented, but, I mean, he's...
Yeah, but she's not really, really... Yeah, you're
he
right.
He seemed extra talented. He glows a little brightly, you know, a little more brightly than most. And that's not because he's a junkie. I think it's sort of in spite of that. She just seems like a girl of passable looks and moderate acting ability who's just you know, she's a Tuesday seer. I mean, that's the... And she just seems bitchy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why it's so hard to feel sorry for her in any way. All right, well, we got more about that. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
A dam will be blown up at noontime. Harry Potter books are missing pages 371 to 402.
Oh, that would suck.
Mm-hmm.
How badly would that suck? Are you past that?
371 to 402.
I finished mine last night.
Look great now.
I'm on 641.
All right, yeah.
Double check?
No, you'd know.
No, I haven't.
371 to 402.
Yeah. What chapter are you on? I do have a reason for it.
32.
Asking. Okay. Oh, okay. I won't give anything away then.
I'm on the Elder Wand.
You know, I'm just going to say the best is still to come in that book.
Yeah?
It's a great book. Best of the series. The best is still to come. All right. And you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, Tim Riley. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The New York Times claims the secret plan is for us to remain in Iraq till 2009.
I don't really know that.
After the current administration is safely away. Snowmen, lesbians, and bubbas steal the debate last night. And the most important story of the day, the Weekly World News is no more.
I'm depressed about that.
I am too.
I'm really
vanishing
down.
Americana.
It is. No, that is the people use this phrase too much, but that is the end of an era.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known it was coming for a while. I mean, you could see. I remember at one point I was trying to get the editor of the Weekly World News on. I forget his name now, because he used to be on with our friend Mike Chase. Mm-hmm. And I remember they started scaling it back because his job duties had been, you know, he was having to do more than with the Weekly World News. He was having to oversee other papers because they had to start scaling back their staff there. I remember trying to get Ed Anger, who was the Weekly World News columnist, on the show. And again, it was I sort of missed my window there, because by the time I started trying to book the Weekly World News people on the show, they had already started letting people go, and it was really down to a skeleton crew. And it's funny, I was just the other day reading the Wikipedia entry, like last week, for the Weekly World News, because, you know, the great thing about the Weekly World News is, I mean, it really is... It is what everybody sort of claims that tabloids are. Mm-hmm. You know, because the Inquirer, as I always note, has not been a trashy... I mean, it is trashy, but the Inquirer, you know, everybody says the Inquirer and the stories about aliens and Elvis, and the Inquirer doesn't do that and hasn't for a long time. They're a trashy, if reputable, newspaper. And most of the other tabloids are just celebrity gossip now. The Weekly World News was the last...
Rainy black and white pictures.
Exactly, and I mean...
As they should be.
And they were the last bastion of just completely hilarious, wonderful, totally fabricated news. I mean, it's see, now I'm all getting all misty-eyed about it. I was at the Safeway, and we're doing sad recollections with the Weekly World News. I was at the supermarket 2 days ago, and they were doing the whole Angel of Death, you know, seen visiting Florida or whatever. It's like the Angel of Death on a beach in his cassock and his scythe, and you know, it's where else you going to see that? There's going to be nowhere else.
Nope.
So is the issue that's out now the last issue?
I believe so, yes.
We'll have to have a moment of silence later on for the Weekly World News. That's just sad. All right. Well, what can you do? Life is for the living. Life goes on. Hey, who wants to hear more bacon calls? But here's what we got. We got more bacon calls. Something about a guy who saw Sarah on Sunday.
Doing something bad?
I don't think you saw him. And
what did I do on Sunday?
A Gabe Kaplan call and something about Lindsay. Well, we'll wait on Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, let's talk to the guy because I don't remember what I did on Sunday.
Well, let's find out. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Sorry, you had breakfast over there on Southeast PAL Sunday morning, correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So, of course, we didn't bother you, but let me ask you this, okay? Because you guys were sitting in that room all by yourself, which kind of amplified what was going on over there. There was two things that was happening. One guy, and I'll see if I can reproduce him. This is kind of how his laugh went.
Wait, hold on. Before we go on.
Okay.
Hold on. You don't have to tell me in the air if you want, but where were you having breakfast?
Oh, I was at the Twilight.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You were impersonating that for us. You were recreating the sound of Sarah's friends.
That's one of my girlfriends, Amber.
Oh, woman?
She has a ridiculous...
That was a woman.
Seriously, it sounds like a put-on, but that is how she laughs. And, yeah, now I love her for it. But at first, when I first heard her laugh, I'm like, is she joking?
Kind of a horse shack kind of laugh. Okay.
So then there was another one, and that laugh kind of went like this. And so just tell me neither one of those. Well, we know one is, but the other one.
That was her sister.
Okay, so none of them was Raul. Okay.
Raul was there, though.
Raul's a man.
Was he the guy with the hat?
He was.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Is this freaking you out? Okay.
Yeah, the waitress, it was funny because, you know, everybody was in the other part of the restaurant, totally heard it. And the first time we heard it, the waitress was at our table. And when we heard it, she looked at us and she went, oh, my God.
Who are those people at table 12?
Amber, it's very attention getting with her laughing.
And we did have bacon with our breakfast.
God
bless
you.
Great bacon.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right.
You're a good American.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right, there you go, Amber. But Amber's hot, though, so it all kind of works.
Yeah, Amber, she has the greatest laugh ever. I mean, it's when I first met her, I thought she was making fun of me.
Like making it for
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I said something, she did that laugh, and...
I didn't think they did breakfast at the Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
The Twilight on Powell?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
the tiny little place, but it's by the 25-hour family billiard center?
Yep, that one.
All right.
Yeah, my friend cooks there, too. It's pretty good.
Hi, sir, you have a bacon comment.
Well, you were saying you were not sure how you could make bacon even better.
Yes.
For the male demographic. How about a bacon bikini?
A bacon bikini?
There you go. That assaults the male demographic right to the core.
No, I was actually... It's funny you say that because I was actually going to say earlier that the only way you could make bacon better is if you went to some restaurant where it was just served to you by topless women, just bringing you big sizzling things of bacon.
There you go.
There we go. That's a remote in the offing. All right, thank you. Thank you. And real quickly, one more call, and then we'll break. We'll come back. We got a Lindsay Lohan call. We have Tim Riley coming up. We have Lisa Goddard, Dick Giuliano. It's all very exciting. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. I'll make this really brief, but probably not all people in all cultures around the world love bacon. But last night on Don and Mike, Gabe Kaplan was on, and it was funny, man. He was saying, yeah, they tried to get me to do celebrity boxing, asking me who I wanted to fight. So Gabe Kaplan's like, I want to fight Conrad Bain.
That's hilarious. And by the way, I like how you were talking about, there are certain cultures, Rick, that don't want to eat bacon, and then your mind immediately went to Gabe Kaplan. Don't think I didn't notice that.
Let me take a comment off the air. I wanted to throw something into a pop culture machine. The movie Sweet Freedom, mid-'80s, and the singer Sheila E., you know, Prince's protege,
yes,
had the song Body Talk. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
Tim Riley rules.
All right. I don't know what I'm supposed to say about that. Sheila E., who I always confuse with Sheena Easton.
Sheila E. was the one who tried to sleep with Clyde, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Isn't that what he said?
I don't know.
After you signed her up for a correspondence course.
Damn. Snap. Okay. You are a terrible person.
My mouth was kind of working on its own.
You weren't really paying attention and it ran off to the microphone.
10 years of talk radio dust to someone.
Oh, no. It's true. No, it is, and it is true that bacon in its natural state is not embraced by all cultures and religions. But here's the thing is, because the Almighty does work in mysterious ways, now there is pseudo-bacon, you know? For those who cannot eat bacon as nature created it, ye can now enjoy the great taste of bacon without eating from the animal with a cloven hoof. That's what science has given us. That really is the greatest advancement of science. Doesn't matter. Is that there is not such a thing as kosher bacon. Really, I mean, that is technology marching on is what that is. Makes you proud to be alive. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're going to break. We'll come back. We have Lisa Goddard coming up, Dick Giuliano, Jim Roop, Tim Riley, the top five rock and roll junkies of all time, and more of all you've come to expect from this radio program. Stay there. It's Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. I'm sorry, you kept the longest piece of tissue.
I know.
Sarah's daubing at her nose ring. It's not bleeding or anything, is it?
No, but it hurts. I think
whacked?
Yeah, I got whacked.
Yeah. All right, 503-733. You just look like my grandfather, who, like, in his later days, wasn't quite all there. And he would just walk around sometimes with a huge piece of tissue trailing out of his hand, like 3 feet long, dragging behind him on the ground like a binky. Exactly. It's hilarious. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. We'll get Lisa Goddard here in just 1 second. Let me just get this one quick observation. Hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. This is the last bacon-oriented call we are taking for this hour. Hello.
I was just going to say bacon, maybe you could something like a Lucky Charm cereal, but instead of the little marshmallows, you know, it tastes like fruit, just little bits of bacon.
Are you saying in addition to the other charms that are in there, or are you talking about a completely separate brand of cereal?
I'm talking about little bacon charms.
Little bacon charms.
Yeah.
Like a dinner type cereal.
Oh, well, high school kids. I mean, I think bacon really is. I mean, not only is it the other, you know, white meat, you could work it into every meal, really.
It'd be like that Wonka stick of gum that's the whole meal. This would be like a breakfast. It'd be like a dinner cereal, and it would, like, have miniature hamburgers, small strips of bacon, tiny potatoes, and then something or other. See, in the future, you know, the weird thing about it is that they have the technology to do that now. If they so desired, they could make a dinner-flavored bacon cereal right now. Even saying that actually makes me want to vomit a little bit. They can actually do it right now.
When you were talking about that sandwich that got this whole thing started,
yeah,
I was visualizing an Arby's-style meal where it's just two thin pieces of bread and about 14 strips of bacon and some sauce.
See, which is both great and terrible. That's kind of like imagining eating that amount of bacon on a sandwich is sort of like wiggling a loose tooth. Kind of feels good, but it kind of hurts all at once, you know?
And a cup of grease on the side, yeah.
All right, bye now.
Thanks.
Okay, yeah, thanks. A cup of dipping grease. Woman, that's my retirement, Greece. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. I'm mixing two Simpson quotes there. I'm conflating two things. Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, except I just mangled a Simpsons quote.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
I was merging two quotes. One where Willie the groundskeeper says, "That's my retirement, Grease." And the other one, which is where he says to his wife, "Grease me up, woman. I'm going in." And I've just merged the two in my head, unfortunately.
You were like some sort of, should I say, failed hip-hop artist on that somehow? Vaguely?
Sure.
Yeah, didn't work with your, I don't know, go ahead, yeah. And see, now I'm taking it off of you by mangling my own thought.
Your own malapropism to match my own.
I'm throwing myself under the metaphor bus.
Let me just, throwing myself under the metaphor bus. That's a great name for some Maureen Dowd type memoir.
That's actually true.
That's a great, you know what it is? Right. That's what Dennis Miller's future autobiography can be called. Throwing myself under the metaphor bus.
That's true.
That's great. There you go. Hey, I thought we were done talking about Alberto Gonzalez
a year ago. You didn't really think that. Did you really think that?
I'll just tell you this. I sort of forgot he even existed for a while.
And that's what he wanted, I think.
I think
he was very happy with that relationship with you.
Color me dumb, but I thought that we came to some sort of resolution or non-resolution, at least, about this firing of the U.S. attorneys, and we'd all just sort of moved on.
I think most of America definitely moved on, or at least, you know, took a welcome summer break from this particular story. But Congress has never moved on. They still, and it is a fascinating little. If you could have a great flow chart as to the number of officials at the Justice Department who did not come up with the list of fired attorneys. It's basically everyone at the Justice Department and the White House has said, "Hey, it wasn't me. I don't know who came up with the list." So Democrats still smell blood in the water, but. You know, it's not just the U.S. attorney thing scandal, but also the issue with the NSA wiretaps and Alberto Gonzalez running to the bedside of John Ashcroft in the hospital and trying to get him to sign on to the wiretap program. And all of that is mixed in here in a very fiery, you could even say cantankerous hearing that we heard from the Senate today. I mean, it was really Alberto Gonzalez just took some lumps, but he... I think he didn't help his case, but he did his classic, "I can't answer that, I don't recall that, I don't know, I don't, there's no," you know, and he did a lot of, "I can neither agree nor disagree with that, Senator," which drives him crazy when you say something.
I just need for this to be made in some sort of movie of the week starring Kevin Spacey and Chris Cooper, and then I'll be able to follow it and understand it. I mean, I think it's just too long and drawn out, and there aren't enough high points for me to really care about it. And I know that makes me a terrible, disengaged American, but, you know, what are you going to do?
The Democrats are trying to find these two pivot points with this U.S. attorney thing. Who fired these U.S. attorneys, and were they fired because they weren't helping Republicans? That's kind of the bottom line. Was this all political? Was it a sort of weird backdoor Watergate type thing through the U.S. attorney's office, which of course the White House and Justice says no, it wasn't, but it's not clear what was going on. And then we've got this NSA wiretap with the, you know, some people said it was an illegal program. So the Democrats are trying to focus on those two things, but I like to listen to Arlen Specter, who first of all is fantastic when angry. He is your man, I think, Rick. When he just gets going, just stay out of his way. And he's also a guy, when you talk to him in person, he can't hear you. So he has that great kind of old guy, don't mess with me thing. But he focuses on a bunch of other issues at Justice and says, you know, you guys have been, you know, for instance, he asked Gonzalez today how much time he spent on this very significant and made a lot of news death penalty case. And Gonzalez said, I don't remember. And, you know, so the inspector just went off on him. He said, "You're kidding me. You didn't even spend time on a man is getting executed. You didn't have time for that." Went off on the OxyContin case, in which the makers of OxyContin were given what many people thought was an incredible deal when a lot of people thought they should have been prosecuted.
He is sort of the Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, he just goes off and on. Yeah. He goes off and off. And I think the issue here, this is why people should care, and I don't think it means you will care, but the reason they should care is that there are a lot of people saying the Justice Department itself which is the probably second most important agency. It's protecting us from companies, whoever, who want to do us harm, that the Justice Department itself is not working right now, that it's dysfunctional in the world of Arlen Specter, that companies and big business and politics are taking priority over justice itself.
This is sort of,
the issue.
It's like your great little Mr. Smith goes to Washington speech right there. I expected like Lee Greenwood and like a flag waving behind you and just all right, excellent. I don't mean to poke fun. It really is. You boil it down to its essence. I think it's just one
you
of
don't
those
care.
Things. No, it's just one of those things. As they say, it's one more log on the fire, my friend. All right, enjoy.
One log on the fire. Yes, I see. I've pushed you. I've pushed you out my door with my leafy spinach on the plate with the tofu noodles. You don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I think that's a second failed metaphor for you today.
I think that's what it is. I feel like, I've got to serve up the spinach and tofu to a crowd that's looking for the popcorn and pizza.
No, we're looking for bacon.
Looking for bacon, which, let me tell you, I was going right along with that sandwich until he put the cup of grease on the side.
That's the audience's job here at the Rick Emerson Show, to push it one step too far.
That was too much, yeah.
All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. We will talk to you very soon.
Okay.
Lisa Goddard on the hill, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right, and I suspect there's Dick Uliano who's going to be ringing in on the other line as we speak. So
back-to-back CNN.
I feel bad to be sending Lisa out on her shield like that with a second bad analogy, but really there was just no...
Way to call her out on it, though.
No gilding that lily. There's no... Well, Rick Emerson doesn't play favorites.
Yeah.
He calls him as he sees him and so forth. Hey, Scotty, this Lucky Charm... call has been taken. I think that line needs to be updated. Unless there's somebody else with the same name calling to make the same bacon Lucky Charms, which is, I guess it's possible. Let's welcome, I certainly wouldn't rule it out with this group of bacon freaks out there. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Dick Uliano. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon from Charleston, South Carolina, Rick.
What's in now is that, and again, color me just all kinds of out of the loop. This will make me sound both uninformed and nerd-like, but I have been so ensconced in this big ball of Harry Potter for the last couple of days. I swear to you that I've been going home, throwing the bolt to my door shut, bringing down the cone of silence, putting metal shutters over my windows to avoid spoilers, and just completely and totally enraptured and enveloped by Harry Potter. So I am so out of the loop on this debate. So
I think a lot of people haven't been tracking these debates. They feel it's so early in the season anyway.
Well, this was a YouTube debate. Now, how did that work? Was it people submitting questions recorded or live, or how did it work?
Yeah, they were recorded videos. Approximately 3,000 were submitted through the Internet's most popular video sharing site, YouTube. And this was a collaboration between YouTube and CNN. The debate was on CNN last night. All 8 Democratic presidential candidates took part. And the goal really was to have the YouTube users ask the questions. They used about 40 videos, and the goal was to use questions that journalists might not typically answer. And I think to a certain extent that was the case. And it did seem to present a little bit more confrontation among the candidates. But there were no real home runs, I don't think, and no errors. So, basically a wash. The front runners held their ground, and I think that the rest of them in the pack, really failed to advance against the front runners, Senators Clinton and Obama.
Everybody looks for a rerun of one of two moments. Everybody either looks for the new You're No Jack Kennedy, or they look for a replay of that horribly awkward question that Bernie Shaw asked Michael Dukakis about his wife and the death penalty. And so there was nothing. These questions are probably screened out so that nothing like that probably made it through.
Well, you picked out two incidents in presidential debates that can really have an impact. And you're right. I mean, I think that people do look for that. And certainly the front runners try not to slip up, and Mrs. Clinton didn't. And basically, I think what the debate showed last night was Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Obama kind of circling each other because they are the front runners. They were at center stage. And they were trying to show distinctions between each other, Obama taking a couple of, swipes at Mrs. Clinton, pointing out that she voted for the use of force resolution for the Iraq war and that he opposed it from the start. He kept hitting home at that. And she was pointing out that she's been asking the Pentagon to please draw up plans for withdrawing U.S. troops.
All right. Are they going to do more of these? Is there going to be? Is this the first of many sort of interactive YouTube-oriented debates, or is this kind of a one-shot deal?
No, they're going to do this again for the Republicans on September 17th. It'll be another YouTube with these questions coming from YouTube with some silly, some interesting, some touching.
Excellent. My friend, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Dick Giuliano.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. Dick Giuliano from CNN. God bless him. This is so great. I didn't want to say this during the, but during the call, I take it, you know, we got them with the Lisa segment. We free the line. Dick Giuliano rings in. And I've said Dick Giuliano like 100 times in the last half hour. Scotty taps on the screen. Steve Kastenbaum. And then I'm talking to Dick Giuliano. And then he erases it and he writes, Bob Costantini. And it was like he was just going through the list one by one. Which is, and I've already introduced him. Not to mention the fact that Scotty picked up the phone and I think screened him. And yet it's just sort of going down the list one by one. To Jim Roop. Rachel McGrath. He's having a hard time listening today. All right.
Oh.
Do we need to shout? What?
I did. I don't know. I don't know how to put this.
What?
Because I was in the kitchen this morning.
Uh-huh.
And Scotty was there and he's cleaning it, you know, like wiping up the counters and stuff that he usually does. And it was just him and I. And I haven't smoked today. And I swear I smelled a whiff of cigarette smoke. But I smelled his shirt and I couldn't smell anything. But it was definitely there. And there was nobody else in the room.
Well, do we want to have a little do we want to have speaks with him very briefly about that?
We could do brief speaks.
Scotty J.
I know why he's distracted. Also, by the way, I know another reason why he's distracted.
Hit me on the mouth, please. Let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
I wonder if he was swearing just now as we interrupted his work cycle to come in and speak with us. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, Buxton.
Where is Buxton?
Have no idea, because you caught me off guard. I had to just look on the wall and point.
Do you have a whole list of every city in Oregon?
I do.
Okay. Bless you, by
some
the way.
Some of Washington,
I
too.
Over there. All right, Scott. Glenn Buxton was one of the guitar players for the Alice Cooper group. So
that must be
Buxton,
who
I
they
know.
Named that sure. town after.
Hey, so before we talk about why you're really distracted today, because I know the other reason why you're distracted, and I think the audience will find it exciting. It's a little glimpse behind the curtain. So we'll talk about that in just a second. And you guys know a little bit about... I sort of hinted to you guys earlier why Scotty might be distracted today, so we'll get to that in a second. But Sarah says that she was in the kitchen, and you have not smoked today?
That's correct for me, too.
No.
So. Now, where would she have smelled smoke? Is that shirt freshly laundered?
Yes, it is. And so, there was someone else in passing, so it could be that person.
Was there somebody else in the kitchen?
That might be a closet smoke.
Does Jeremy smoke?
No, Jeremy doesn't smoke.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, he doesn't smoke publicly, is what you're saying, but you suspect
no,
that he
Jeremy's
might be
all squeaky clean. Jeremy wouldn't smoke.
He's kind of scrubbed. So you are saying that you have not smoked. Are we in the patch today?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Maybe you're feeling good.
I can go at it alone.
Maybe you're feeling good because you have nicotine flowing through your veins from a cigarette. Maybe you're feeling good because the terrible jaw-grinding withdrawal symptoms have gone away.
I'm feeling good because of that, yes.
I'm saying they've gone away because you smoked. Perhaps that's...
No.
You know, so you have not smoked.
That's correct.
All right, may I smell your hands?
Yes.
Ew.
Well, what am I going to do? Not like you're going to do
it. I think
you
should smell his hair, too.
I just got back from the restroom.
You've
got
to smell his
hair. Look at that hair. He wears all kinds of product in there.
No, because I'm thinking that if he showers first thing in the morning and I smelled smoke, then there will be smoke in that hair.
Oh, my God.
So awkward. All right, let me smell your hands, please. No, they just smell like soap.
All right, smell his hair.
I'm not...
Just give it a whiff.
I hate the word whiff. So revolting.
Oh?
That's a weird smell. I don't know what that... Bend down again, please.
You know what it is? It's pomade or whatever.
It smells like Purell, almost.
It's pomade or whatever.
You think
whatever.
He puts Purell in his hair to mask the smoke?
For breeze.
Yeah. In the car.
No, it's like an alcohol smell. Like a rubbing alcohol type smell. So like Aquanet, you know, has that a lot of alcohol. Like a lot of, L'Oreal stuff has a lot of...
So it's exuding out of my system.
Yeah, there's a lot of glycerin and ethylpropyl alcohol in those things.
Did you drink last night, Scotty?
No.
Are you sure? Because you seem kind of hungover.
You seem hungover.
What is that like? I mean, how can you tell?
What do you mean, what is that like? Okay, we're done. Except for this. And then we got a break. We'll come back.
Are you distracted?
Tim Riley, who is creating all kinds of... Are you preparing news for us as we speak?
I am. I'm working very hard at the moment.
Is this the sound inside your head when you're working? Is that like a whistle while you work kind of a thing? All right. Real quickly, we'll break and then we'll come back. Here's the other reason why Scotty's distracted. We won't mention the particulars of this because, you know, who knows? These things come and go, and sometimes they come. Sometimes they, as they say, come together and get buttoned up. Sometimes they don't come together.
I think it's going to go unless I get some help.
Well, we'll see. So, Scotty J., there is a prospective advertiser on the Rick Emerson Show, and I mentioned this to you guys.
Okay.
Is it a cigarette?
Think we can advertise cigarettes on this station. I think we can. I don't think there's any law against that.
It used to be.
But I don't think it was the law, though. I think it was just like an. I think it was a voluntary ban that broadcasters have. We should break ranks. We should be scabs. There's a prospective advertiser who is looking into perhaps doing some business, as they say, with this radio station. And so one of the people that they are looking at to perhaps talk about their fine business is Scotty J. But they have asked for a bio on him, like, as they make their decision. Now, again, don't put the carriage before the horse or whatever the hell it is. It may or may not come together. A lot of these things come across our tramps, and sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. A lot of reasons for that. But this business has asked for a biography on Scotty J. as they weigh whether or not to move forward with him doing ads for their business.
I know, and I have no idea.
So Scotty has until the end of the day to create a bio for himself upon which this business decision may rest. How are you feeling about that? How's the pressure?
It's horrific. It's so badly that I can't even hear what guest you're announcing on the radio.
Excellent. That's wonderful.
So,
all right. I'm sorry, is it wrong for me to laugh? Was it wrong that my response when you said the pressure's horrific?
So far, I've got a sentence done.
What I want to read the story of Scotty's life.
Please tell me your bio starts with, Scotty J. was born in a small town outside of Portland. What's the opening sentence on your bio?
KCMD is a radio station in Portland, Oregon. The Rick Emerson Show is great. You really should pick Scotty J. That's my bio.
I bet, and you know the thing is, that tone of voice you just affected there is exactly what it reads like, I bet. I bet it reads with exactly that.
Can we make up a biography for him on the air?
Scotty J. is the winner of 5 Peabody Awards.
Yes, that's what it needs to be like. Sounds like, anyways.
Scotty J. owns a mobile DJ business on the weekends.
Very successful.
Seriously. For excellence in call screening.
You just make up awards. That's what Bill O'Reilly does. Just say you've won stuff. No.
I wrote a book.
Al Franken's not going to investigate you.
How to be a DJ on the weekends.
No, see, you fall down here when you try to be. Don't try to insert any wit into it. That's not going to work.
We certainly don't want to insert any wit into the bio either and mislead the client.
What the, I think you're amusing. So Scotty has until the end of today. This is not a fabricated radio bit. This is totally true. That Scotty has until the end of today to create this bio, which will then go off to this prospective client, and then they will look at that and, based largely on that, will decide whether or not to do business with us. No pressure. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
All right.
Fantastic. Yeah, that looked like he's about to crack.
I know.
Fantastic. All right. We're going to come back. Tim Riley will fill your brain full of tasty news when we return. It's 503-733-2970. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Scotty's having some kind of mental collapse. I'm sorry. Why do I
right
laugh after I say those things?
You're right about the cracking thing. He doesn't look so well.
No. I think if we shouted at him really loudly, he might cry and then die. You know, just sort of, bam, head on the desk. Sort of have a complete breakdown followed by just a heart seizure. All right. And you're totally right when you said he wrote like 3 paragraphs on the station and has yet to use his own name or reference himself in any way in this bio he's supposed to be writing. Well done. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we'll check in later. We'll help him out. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, a man who needs no biography or introduction, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We're waiting for a dam to be blown up. It's a big one. This is going to be the biggest environmental event of the decade, they say. The century-old Marmot Dam on the Sandy River is to be blown up momentarily to protect endangered salmon. After decades of planning, the countdown is now on to bring down the 47-foot dam, which is owned by PGE.
Now, do you have that? Do we have a feed or something?
I do. I'm monitoring the K2 feed right now.
Waiting to see when they blow it up?
I guess so.
All right.
Did you want to put it up?
Yeah, let's see.
Is it Carl Click?
It probably is.
The debris that would shoot out from the dam as they detonated.
Is that his voice? I can't tell.
Wouldn't hit anyone, so the idea was cover it up. But they put some extra explosives on it just so that we
can
see
that's
it
from Carl Flick's voice.
There's a couple of hundred feet, a couple of hundred people standing here under this tent to watch people from all of the different organizations.
Is this going
to
be one of those things where we talk about it and then it takes like another 40 minutes because they keep delaying it?
The big flashy part now.
Probably the big flashy part.
Construction as they pick away at that dam, but that sure was cool to watch from here from 1,000 feet away. And all
I guess we missed
watch
it.
From our dam.
Oh well, we missed the dam. Hurrah!
We'll have more
well, that was
on
fun.
News at 4:30.
They're just showing a still picture.
Now, though, we are live at the Marmot Dam. Brian Barker.
Carl Click.
Brian Barker.
Thank you very much. They probably have about a month.
That's Carl.
Digging with heavy machinery to actually get the rest of that dam that's out
Carl.
Of the way there.
Yep. A lot of work still to do.
Well, okay. Hurrah.
All right, that was fun. Well, we missed the dam being blown up.
I'm sorry. That's my fault.
No, it is.
I blame myself. That's my fault for telling. You know what? I should have done the Scotty Bio thing.
It was the biggest environmental event of the decade. No, but we had other things happening here.
I'm sorry.
The fish will live a much better life now that the dam has been blown up.
We'll have footage later.
We won't.
Play a tip.
The time for footage has come and gone. Well, there'll be other dams to blow up and other whales that wash up dead on the beach. Meanwhile, two public employees in Clackamas County are the focus of embezzlement probes. Well, that sounds painful. Bookkeeper at Estacada Fire is suspected of stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars and using forged payroll checks. She's also being investigated along with a Clackamas Water District clerk who is thought to have stolen more than $50,000.
Is there a worse job to have than just a public, just like some city clerk in Clackamas?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Three of the brewery blocks have changed hands. J.P. Morgan Chase has paid more than $291 million for Pearl District properties. That are now owned by another company. The tenants include Whole Foods Market, P.F. Chang's, the Louisa Apartments, and the Art Institute of Portland. The sale reportedly attracted 15 bidders, so this was an auction. So that's that. And the worst news, I can't believe I have to say this, it's painful. Apparently the Weekly World News is shutting down.
I'm really bummed out
by
that.
It's the world's only reliable newspaper. The editor has decided this announcement does not fall within what he wants to say. American media has decided to suspend publication of the Weekly World News. Both the print edition and the website, no reason is given, although reliable sources say that management turned down at least one offer to buy the publication. The supermarket tabloid is known for the home of Bat Boy and less than probable stories. It has long had staffing connections with science fiction, fantasy, and horror. So
now, is it owned by the people who own the National Enquirer?
I believe so, yes. It's American media.
Let's see.
They're all in Boca Raton, Florida.
Let's see. On July 21st, 2007, blah, 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 the last issue will be printed August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be 2 weeks. So I guess I could have figured this out from the title. It is a weekly newspaper. There are 2 weeks of reprint issues. And then the last issue, which I will absolutely buy, printed August 3rd. Launched in 1979, and I'm looking now at the Wikipedia entry for this. You know, and we were talking about this in the 11 o'clock hour. You know what I'm going to miss is Ed Anger. Ed Anger, who was America's greatest editorial writer. He was America's... This is a typical editorial column by Ed Anger, who was the incredibly conservative editorial columnist for the Weekly World News. Sample column. Let's pave the stupid rainforest and give school teachers stun guns by Ed Anger.
I wonder how many Ed Angers there actually are.
There were three. There was a guy. Why do I know that? Boy,
I do want to know that.
That was like when your doctor hits the knee with a hammer thing and you kind of just kick up. Like, how many? Three! I know this because there was the guy who originated the Ed Anger column. There, and you can buy, incidentally, there's a book you can buy that Clyde has called Ed Anger's America, which is this, not a coffee table book, but it's like shaped like one of those onion books. It's sort of it is a book that is about the dimensions of a magazine, but it's, 200-300 pages long, and it is all the assembled Ed Anger columns from 1989 all the way through 1996 or something.
Oh, like a coffee table book.
Exactly.
Of Ed Anger.
And it's fantastic. There was, let's see, Let's just say we have, let's see, do we have the list of all the Ed Angers there have been? The identity was created by Weekly World News writer Raphael Klinger in 1979. Let's see, they were then, after him, they were written by Eddie Klontz, who was the paper's editor. Justin Mitchell was the most recent writer of the Ed Anger columns. And then, of course, the original guy sued at one point and got told to go pound it. So there were three different Ed Angers who wrote editorial columns for the Weekly World News during its, how long is it, 28-year run, something like that. It really is, I mean, that's a newspaper, and I do mean this in a sincere sense, because it really is a very specific, very quintessential slice of American journalism. I mean, it is. I mean, I have, for the longest time, I've wanted there to be a documentary about the Weekly World News. Like, I want to know if they have pitch meetings. Do they have weekly news gatherings where they sit around a conference table and somebody has to pitch that week's Bat Boy story? Do they have one guy who just writes the Bat Boy stories and nothing else? Here's the other repeating saga they have in the Weekly World News. They have Bat Boy, and then they have that alien who's always doing stuff. Alien endorses Newt Gingrich. Alien endorses Hillary Clinton. Alien seen vacationing in La Jolla. And the alien, it's like the tall, skinny, white alien gray with the huge black eyes. And he probably is there second only to Bat Boy in terms of occurrence inside the magazine. So, and just by the way, because I feel like an ass, I am attempting to find video of the dam being blown up. Trying to see if there's... See, the K2 website hasn't even updated. They still say, like, keep watching. It'll happen any second now. The K2 website is still... they're still saying that the dam explosion is going to be happening. All right.
Well, I think they're taking advantage of Carl Click's busyness.
And
not updating it.
Had
Carl known about this, I'm sure he would have cracked the whip.
trying to find this right now. Anyway, so the Weekly World News will be doing its last issue on August 3rd, and it's hard to believe that there's... I don't mean to overstate the importance of the Weekly World News, but it's just sort of always there. It's a thing you just sort of take for granted. And it really is... I would say it is the definitive American tabloid, probably world tabloid, of that nature. Second only to the Inquirer. Oh, wait, here we go. So, Sarah, is my computer up? Okay, let me...
Down. But this new cofferdam is...
No, this is still... They actually haven't posted the explosion footage, so...
But this new cofferdam is all dirt and temporary and diverts the Sandy River water around the...
Who is this guy? This sounds like some sort of angry shop teacher who's a little drunk.
Century-old Marmot Dam, so workers can...
That Ed Anger?
Quit screwing around. Don't play with the lathe. It's not, you know, Ed Anger, and I'm going to be lamenting this all day long. That guy used to be available for live shots on radio shows, and I am sad that we were never able to have him do that. So we missed that era of the Weekly World
News. He's probably not that busy now, then. Scotty?
Scotty would love Ed Anger. You know, Ed Anger really is a columnist after Scotty's own heart. All right, here's Tim Riley, kids.
Well, it looks like American troops will be in Iraq for a few more years, and according to today's front page article of the New York Times, a senior U.S. commander said there are secret military operations set for the summer of 2009, and that is the goal for stabilizing the war-torn country. The plan, first reported in the Times, comes as Democrats in Congress prepare for a strategy change that leads to troop withdrawals. So, 2009, when everybody is safely away. And somebody else can get blamed for it.
The interesting thing, by the way, is how first it was going to be September of this year, then it was going to be December of this year, and now they're already just sort of assuming that we're going to stay there, and it's going to be... I mean, that's over. What is it? When of 2009?
Let's see here. Summer 2009.
So that's 2 years from now. So they're already just sort of resigning themselves to the fact that we're going to be there in 2009. Well, that's fantastic. So that'll be Hillary Clinton's problem at that point. And here's the thing about...
No, Scotty said it's going to be really Giuliani's problem.
Uh-huh. Whatever. Rudy Giuliani, there should be some sort of a, I don't know, there should be some sort of a Clockwork Orange-style thing on that guy to see if he can get through a sentence without saying 9/11, reminding you of it. You know what I mean? I mean, if you went through Rudy Giuliani's speeches, and I'm not trying to minimize 9/11, it's just that he turned, I was saying this yesterday, so somebody asked him some question about, Rudy Giuliani, if you're elected president, what are you going to do about AIDS research funding? And I swear to Christ, within about 15 seconds, he had turned a question about AIDS funding into a 9/11 thing because he said, well, I think the important thing is to try to find, the appropriate amount of funding and response at every level. For example, if a major metropolitan city is attacked by terrorists, and I mean, it was like a land speed record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all he was missing was, you know, Alan Jackson suddenly appearing on the stage behind him. And, that's all. And like an American flag dropping out of the rafters. So if you went through Rudy Giuliani's speeches and removed, just sort of went through and hermetically removed every reference to 9/11, he would have, I mean, he'd have a cozy 8-9 minutes. I mean, that's it. So, all right.
So let's see who's donated to Scotty's future president. Melissa Gilbert has donated $4,600. Now, that is the most you can donate, because you can donate a maximum of $2,300 for the primaries and $2,300 for the general election.
You know, that doesn't surprise me. She seems like she would be really conservative somehow.
Mm-hmm. And who else? Brad Gray, producer of The Sopranos, donated $2,300 to Mr. Giuliano. And some of the other donations. Pat Boone has
Hold on. Let me see if I can guess these. Mm-hmm. So Pat Boone, is this are these all to Giuliani or are these to different candidates?
Different candidates.
Pat Boone donated to... That can't be Giuliani. Pat Boone donated to Fred Thompson?
Nope. He did two donations.
I don't know. I have nothing.
$500 to Senator Sam Brownback and $250 to Mitt Romney.
I should have guessed Mitt Romney because I knew he would never give money to Giuliani. That guy's never going to, if you're like a, he's never going to get money out of the crazy nutcase baseland. So, all right.
Casey Kasem donated $350 to Dennis Kucinich.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can kind of see that. Because Casey Kasem seems like, I mean, despite his weird apocalyptic meltdowns about his music beds, he does seem like he comes from the left. I could see that.
Donald Trump.
I don't know. I think I am hamstrung by not being a New Yorker, so I don't know. Here's the thing about Giuliani. I really, Lisa Goddard played this game with me last week, and I just failed spectacularly. I got the first one right, and that was it. I knew that Jody Foster had donated to Obama. I mean, it was a flat-out guess. I don't know how people come down on Giuliani, because there is the one faction, I think, that views him as, of course, a strong leader and a guy who is, when the chips were down and when the brakes were beating the boys, he stood up and he won one for the Gipper. There was all of that. But on the other hand, I know there's a lot of people who think that he was just like a fascist. Like, I knew a lot of guys who lived in New York, and he was just like a brown shirt who just went through with it with just a huge iron boot and just stomped on everybody who displeased him when he was the mayor of that city. So I would say that Trump probably gave money to Giuliani because Giuliani seemed like he, when he was mayor, very pro-business.
You're correct.
Yeah. All right, there you go. I figured, I just can't continue to bat zero with these questions. It's embarrassing.
Okay, we'll do one last one. Larry Flint.
Larry Flint, and I'm going to give you a little peek inside how I arrive at these conclusions. Larry Flint obviously is not going to give money to a Republican, so it's a Democrat. Larry Flint seems driven by ideology and money, but even more than that, Larry Flint, not unlike myself, I feel kind of a kinship to him because Larry Flint seems driven by desire just to sort of just stick a thumb in the eye. He just likes the establishment. He just sort of likes to see things upset. He likes to see entropy and the boat rocked. I am guessing he gave money to Hillary Clinton because he likes to antagonize conservatives.
All right. The answer is $2,300 to Dennis Kucinich.
Ah, okay. All right.
And the rest of the Hollywood tribe is equally between Hillary and Obama.
The thing about giving money to Dennis Kucinich sort of intrigues me because, I know that Ralph Nader was not an elected official, whereas Kucinich is. But, I mean, they've got to know that Dennis Kucinich, no matter how much money you give him, has no chance of winning. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, I guess that really is, I mean, maybe they're assuming... Maybe they just operate under the assumption that Hillary or Obama, that they're going to get the nomination anyway. And since that is such a lock, they can feel good about supporting Kucinich because they know that he's not going to be a spoiler the way that Nader is. But goddamn, what if that happens again? Really, what if it comes down to Hillary Giuliani and Kucinich gets in there and just Naderizes the whole thing and is some sort of reverse kingmaker and puts Giuliani in office? Can you imagine how crazy the left will go if they lose another election? If the Democrats choke another... If the Democrats cannot win with Hillary Clinton, They ought to just go toss themselves off a cliff, lemming style, into the sea. I mean, really, there's just no excuse. If you can't, I mean, I said the same thing in 2004.
Scotty told me she's going to lose.
Scotty, you know we're going to make a bet on that. And you know that there's going to be massive bookmaking on this program about the election as it draws near. I mean, I'd make that bet right now. Scotty probably isn't $500, really? Are you sure?
Whose $500 is this?
Are you? Scotty wants to. Okay. Well, we won't talk about it now because we got to get back to the news, Scotty. But you, okay? You make it. Yeah, your wife will bet her five against my wife's five. That's how we'll do that. Okay. You make a note of that, Scotty. Shouldn't he be working on your bio right now? Ooh, no pressure. Okay. Here's Tim Riley. How about this? Scotty J was born in a log cabin. Start with that.
He's often heard on 970 kilocycles, with the power output of 5,000 watts, as approved by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C.
The amplitude modulation band. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to, I don't know if you can call it a debate or a question-answering session last night.
On the YouTube?
Yeah. The only one's worth listening to. I really like this guy. Former Alaska's editor Mike Gravel.
Yeah.
He says our foreign policy makes it hard for the U.S. to intervene in Darfur.
But the African nations don't want us there. What's the message? They're afraid of us. They're flat afraid of us.
I dig that guy. He's the guy, people in Portland know him because the first thing out of his gullet a few weeks ago was that he wanted to legalize pot. So, of course, you could hear just this assembled cheer grow in every place in Oregon. So,
all the flags go up on the east side.
Totally. No, they dig that guy.
Mr. Gravel says more work needs to be done on the minimum wage.
But I'd say that we don't need a minimum wage. We need a living wage. We don't have that in this country.
That's crazy.
I'm looking at the rest of the response, and there's nothing new there.
No.
Nothing. It's a waste of time. It wasn't really a debate, but it was kind of interesting.
No, and it wasn't even, and you know, the thing about having all those questions pre-screened is they were able to, I mean, if they really want to have a debate, and this will never happen, if they really wanted to have a debate that we would watch, they would just have the people ask questions, but of course they would not be screened. But as you and I know, Tim, that will never happen. We tried to get a question to, what's his name, Peter Jennings?
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't. I mean, I know that we were just bitching about this to Carl Click last week as though he's the one to which we should complain. But, you know, when K2 hosted Peter Jennings, and we were owned by the same company. Peter Jennings was in town.
At least they let us in the building.
They sat us in the back row. They put us like as far from the stage. Peter Jennings came to town a few years ago when we were owned by Fisher Broadcasting. And Peter Jennings came to town for K2, also owned by Fisher Broadcasting. And they had goddamn idiot Lars on stage, and then Tim and I were shoved, like, at the very, like, the absolute back of the hall with, like, little yellow 3x5 cards upon which they wanted us to write our questions for Peter. Questions that were then just put into a bag of trash and thrown out on the curb. So, I guess I should just expect it. But they'll never have just an unfiltered, unscreened, uncensored, non-prepared debate, you know, or Q&A session. It's just never going to happen. I mean, I'd watch it. That'd get like a 90 share, but it's never going to happen.
So. But I noticed a lot was planned ahead of time because I noticed some reaction shots, they had to be planned, and if they were talking about certain people, they already had a camera shot ready on them.
That's
so somebody in the booth knew ahead of time who was going to say what when.
It's just so, well, it's so, I mean, it was, just, I mean, I'm like a billionth guy to say this, but it is so scripted and so stage managed. This guy says, Giuliani info. This isn't true. He says, Rick, seeing as how Scotty is a family values kind of voter, you should ask what he thinks about Rudy Giuliani marrying his effing cousin. Is that true?
I believe so. He also lived with gays for a while.
Not gays.
Yep, two of them.
Wait, hold on.
Scotty is their spokesperson, though.
Hold on. Gays, you're saying now he lived with?
Correct, yes. In New York.
And New York gays at that. Mm-hmm. Well, well. How the worm has turned, Scotty J. He married his cousin, though? I mean, look, whatever. I don't care. I mean, my cousin's kind of hot. But, I mean, you know, but I'm not married to her. I mean, you're just not supposed. I mean, I know in Britain you can do it and all, but they're British. They're godless. That's interesting. So is the cousin the woman that he was cheating on his wife with? Who cheats on their wife with their cousin? What is wrong with you? What are you doing? I say, instantly believing this email, needing no further evidence.
Well,
or
deep
proof.
Down, he's one of those liberals.
Well, he really is. That's the other thing. I mean, we'll talk to Scotty more about that later when we make this alleged bet about. Now I have to look this up. I mean, I guess there is some horrible, perverse logic to the fact that he's like an arch-conservative having sex with a family member, apparently. I mean, that does make sense in some sort of weird way, but all right. You know what I hate about Wikipedia is they have They're terrible because I misspelled Giuliani just now. I kind of cut and pasted from the email. And the fact that Wikipedia doesn't do that. Google has made us all lazy. When you misspell something in Google and it goes, sorry, retard user, did you mean? And then it has the correct spelling. I wish Wikipedia did that. Let's see. Here's Tim Riley.
Uh-oh, this just in. An attempt to bring Kevin Federline to Sacramento as a DJ on the morning show has been dropped due to listener backlash. The end. I guess there's an end in Sacramento, too. And offered Federline a temporary gig to fill in for a week on the station's usual morning show, The Wake-Up Call, is on vacation. However, the end station managers say they received thousands of listener complaints about the idea, many stating they don't want to wake up to keep it on their radio, so the station took the offer back.
And so this is, what station is this? The End?
The End.
Is that an alternative station?
I suppose so, yeah.
It must be. Mm-hmm. I mean, that must be, it's got to be one of those trademarked names or whatever. Kevin Federline, really?
Yeah.
You know, the I don't know. I shouldn't poke fingers. What am I trying to say? Point fingers? Poke fun? Doing a whole thing. I'm doing that all day today. I'm merging sentences. I shouldn't point fingers or poke fun because it's not like talk radio is exempt from stunt hosting. Let us all pause to remember Cato Kalin being given a drive time program on KLSX.
That was just wrong.
Let us all remember Tom Likas, who at the time was number one in Los Angeles, being fired so they could give a show to Daryl Gates once he left the LAPD after the Rodney King riots. So, I mean, talk radio certainly has given people who don't deserve talk shows. But music radio is, I mean, I guess that's their old trick that they have never evolved past. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't find somebody with real talent, and if you can't find a real reason for people to tune into your radio station, just get a wacky stunt guy who has no business hosting a radio program, and you know, give him the gig. You know, but the fact that the listeners are so upset about it, it seems like they should have just gone with it at that point. If everybody's so upset, if everybody's so angry about it, it seems like they would have hired Kevin Federline so that everybody would have been bitching about it, and then of course they would have tuned in and blah blah blah. And no such thing as bad publicity. Well, it doesn't really matter to me. It won't help them in the long run. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Bob Barker's replacement on The Price is Right has been named. Comedian Drew Carey appeared on Letterman last night where he made his announcement about his quest for the job.
I met with them and stuff, and we've been yoshi ever since. I couldn't say anything, but during your Harry Potter bit, like 15 minutes ago, they called me. It's a done deal. I'm the new host of The Price is Right.
Oh, my God. So, who knows? Bikini-clad women mowing your lawn? No, it's not your imagination. It's really a reality in Memphis, Tennessee. This company is called Tiger Time Lawn Care. The owner, Lee Cathy, said the idea came to him while riding on his bicycle.
The way we came up with the idea was I was actually driving through suburbia Memphis and saw some ladies out there cutting grass and in their bikini tops and short shorts, and I saw a video. And I said, why not offer it as a service?
How much does this all service cost in Memphis?
Well, regular size lawn, like you see in the suburbs, about $65 to $85.
And so, for $75, a bunch of women in bikinis will come mow your lawn.
Just one.
One woman in a bikini.
Yeah.
Does it matter? I mean, I wonder if they. So does it depend on the size of the lawn? Do they do like hedge work? Do they do?
I have to find the number. I'm not sure.
You know,
I don't have the price guide here.
In Spokane, they have this nude house cleaning service they offer. They did at the time, and I don't know if they still do. But when I was working in Spokane, I remember I interviewed, when I was a wacky DJ, I interviewed somebody who offered this, and it was male and female, too. It didn't matter who you wanted. You get, for like $150 an hour, they would either send a man or a woman to your house who would strip off their clothing, and then, of course, the old joke, they would do everything but windows, because you were not allowed to let anybody outside the house see it. It could not be seen from the street. But they would like send some skis to your house, and she'd get nude and then do dishes for you or whatever. Which, I mean, really, I suppose I could see the novelty value in doing that once, but really, it does seem like there's something really deeply wrong with you if that's what you're putting your disposable income. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who might this be?
This is Logan.
Logan, how are you doing? How's your summer vacation going, my young friend?
It's doing pretty good.
Hey, how can I help you today, Logan?
Yeah, I know this is a little overdue and late and all that, but I have something regarding the bacon reference earlier.
Of course you do. What is your bacon observation?
Bacon is the candy bar of meat.
You really are great. Do you script these observations out ahead of time, or do they just sort of come to you?
They just come to me.
Did you, as far as you know, are you the originator of the phrase, bacon is the candy bar of meat?
No, I am not. My Uncle Ryan, he made that up, and He also rolls his own cigarettes with bacon-flavored rolling paper.
You're making that up.
I'm not making it up.
Your Uncle Ryan, there's no such thing as bacon flavor. He's pulling your lariat. There's no bacon.
It's serious. My parents have seen him and stuff. I'm not lying.
Kids that age do lie a lot or twist the truth.
You're not bearing false witness against your neighbor, are you, Logan?
No.
He's all hurt. Your Uncle Ryan, if it's true that he rolls his own cigarette, does he have like a tobacco pouch?
Maybe. I'm not sure in the details, but all
are
I
you,
know
Do you
he...
know what kind of cigarettes these are?
No.
Does Ryan, does he smell like pine needles a lot?
No.
Really? Do his eyes look sort of half-closed sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right. He's a great man. There's much you can learn from him, Logan.
And he has bacon and eggs tattooed across his knuckles.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Bye. All right. I think we've taken the walk.
I think somebody was pulling your leg.
Taking a walk off the end of the truth pier there. All right. Into Deception Bay. What are we doing? Rick. I was listening to K2 just now. I believe it's McGruff the Crime Dog reporting on the dam. The guy did have a really weird gravelly voice. We're going to go back later and see if there's audio of the dam explosion. All right, let's do one more and then we'll break.
All right, well, that sounds fair enough. A groundskeeper fell under his lawnmower in Broomfield, Colorado. Wendy Forbes of the Metro Fire Department said the victim was working on a steep slope when the mower mowed right on top of him.
And the lawnmower turned, and before the man could get out of the way, he was run over by this mower with the blade still engaged, still mowing.
Mower?
I barely knew her.
Yes, I see a lot of mowing injuries every summer, but usually they happen at home.
A lot of mowers nowadays have safety features where if you let go of the handle, it should stop the blade. But too many people disable those safety features, and sadly, that's when people get hurt.
Well, okay, it's not sadly. If a guy is injured because he has taken the time and deliberately disabled the safety features on his lawnmower, that's not sad. That's wonderful. And it doesn't. But it doesn't say anything about the condition he's in. Is he dead?
It doesn't say.
So he was it a riding lawnmower?
Yes.
So he was on a steep hill. What did he? How is that even possible? I wondered, did he put the brake on or something and get out to inspect?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just slipped into gear? Or did he? Is it possible that he somehow fell over?
It said he was working on a steep slope and the mower went over the top of him.
I wonder if he'd gotten out, or maybe if he was on a slope and the mower tipped. In other words, if it sort of rolled over. Well, that's tremendously unsatisfying. I've got to know what the nature of the injuries were. Well, we'll try to find out. All right, when we come back, we will continue the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Still to come, Jim Roop's going to talk to us about Lindsay Lohan. Sarah Dillon, who's sharing many Lindsay Lohan fun facts with us today. We'll check in with Scotty's attempt to write a biography for himself. The last time I walked by the room, he just sort of had his head in his hands and appeared to be snuffling silently into his fingers. So we'll check in with the ongoing mental degradation of Scotty J. More from Tim Riley. Top 5 rock and roll junkies coming up later on, and Dennis Pitchenbarger in the 2 o'clock hour. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson radio program. It was on AMC just the other night. I'll burn it to a DVD. It's called The Sweet Smell of Success. It's Tony Curtis, Burt Lancaster, who's just unbelievably menacing and creepy and twisted. And it's a noir film, and there's all of these great, weird, twisted subtext, just sort of things that are just right beneath the surface there. And it's the best kind of movie to me. It takes place largely at night, all but I think like an hour of it. And it all takes place inside one 24-hour period right in the heart of bustling Manhattan. And Tony Curtis plays a guy named Sidney Falco. And he is a press agent for, celebrities. He's in charge of getting them press and getting them attention. And Burt Lancaster plays a guy named... name escapes me at the moment. But Burt Lancaster plays the most powerful gossip columnist in New York City, sort of a TMZ or a Drudge type. And the entire movie takes place in about 24 hours, and it's the relationship. J.J. Hunsaker is who he plays. And it's the entire movie is the relationship between the press agent, a celebrity, and the gossip columnist, and the way that it unfolds. And every scene takes place in, like, a crowded, smoky Manhattan nightclub with, like, a jazz band playing and people smoking, you know, one cigarette and drinking Manhattans and sidecars. And everybody wears a suit, and we were just talking about during the break, we were talking about gossip columnists and Lindsay Lohan and TMZ and Drudge and Hedda Hopper. Sweet Smell of Success is where that famous noir phrase comes from. The cat's in the bag and the bag's in the river. It comes from that movie. It's genius. It's flawless. I'll bring it in. It's wonderful.
Oh, speaking of good TV, did anybody watch the special on Underground Cities when they did Portland last night?
I TiVo'd it, but I've not watched it.
It's so good. Everyone's been to the Shanghai Tunnel in here, right?
Yes. Rick hasn't.
Sorry!
I remember Rick hasn't done much of anything.
Never, I don't leave the house.
That's local there, stuff.
I know that it's not really like going to Italy, but it still requires moving out of my house for you know, an hour or two.
To get the pizza out of your face.
Not only did they go to the Shanghai Tunnel, they did something I never saw before. Apparently there was a fight club in the basement of, I believe, the Kenton Hotel that's up by the Paul Bunyan statue.
Uh-huh.
And they showed that, too.
When was that?
Let's see. It was during Prohibition.
Really?
Yeah. And they were showing, I think it was Huber's.
The
basement of that. There was a speakeasy down there.
Really?
And there was a woman who ran all the bootlegging in Portland and also ran all the houses of ill repute. One woman.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. Yeah, it's on my TV. I'm waiting to watch it.
I love living in this city because it's so corrupt.
Huber's, it's right beneath the surface. Scratch virtue and you find vice, my friends. So Huber's is the oldest continuously operating, bar, tavern, whatever, in Portland, I believe.
Way downstairs was where the speakeasy was.
Boy, you know, let's just talk about Huber's for a second and how beautiful that place is. And I'm talking about the bar side, which is a huge domed ceiling and the glass bar.
Yeah, it's really creepy. I always feel like I'm in The Shining when I'm in that bar.
Seriously, I don't know if they filmed movies there or whatever, but if they haven't, they ought to. Attention, guys on the 48-hour film festival team that I'm part of. Really, that's a location you ought to use. The audio in there is probably terrible because it's so huge and cavernous. Maybe if you have some guys wrestling in the background, it'll prove. I got a big nasty email from Patrick this morning. He's like, "You try filming at a wrestling hall and getting decent, you're a jerk."
It was just that one scene. The rest of it was superfluous.
No, it's great. But Huber's really is a wonderful place. So this is in the basement.
Yeah, way down.
Speakeasy.
A lot of these old places had speakeasies way back when.
I just love that whole. I mean, it's just and you know. It's almost better in a way to live now because you can sort of view it through the romantic prism of history where it's all kind of perfect. But, I mean, I'm with you. The towns like this are great because there's just – and I think maybe a lot of it was the fact that this town was so isolated – geographically speaking, and that it was to some degree sort of a port city, not in the same way that like New York is obviously, but a port city, and you know, ports, any city that is near a port, that's a city that is just corrupt to its very core because there's all kinds of smuggled bootlegs and goods and smuggled people coming in and out. So,
but this is the first that I heard of the story about the Fight Club in the basement of the Kenton Hotel, which is still there because they're fixing up that whole area to make it more gentrified.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to watch that.
So, that was on last night, so hopefully people that.
Cool.
Our friend Aaron the Geek's hometown, Susanville, is going to be the topic of a program tonight on OPB, Prison Town, USA. They have four prisons in Susanville. It is a small city in Northern California.
I believe it is their only real industry there. It's the Walla Walla of North California.
As it is in the town of Sheridan here.
Hey, who wants...
a federal penitentiary there.
Who wants to hear a crazy... a crazy person on the radio?
Oh, I can't get enough.
Somebody just sent this to me from Utah. Mm-hmm. This is from radio station KSFI, which I cannot remember exactly, but I believe KSFI is an adult contemporary station. Let me look... I don't know what you said now that just prompted that in my head, but let me look up real quickly. KSFI... Let me make sure I'm thinking. The right radio station. Oh, this FM 100, soft hits. Let's talk. I wonder if this is a CBS radio station. Let's find out, shall we? This is from KSFI FM 100 in Salt Lake City. A friend of mine who lives in Utah sent this to me. And trying to find the radio station website. I believe this is sort of like a sort of a K103 type radio station, but much whiter. Soft hits, less talk. Boy, that less talk thing, you would think that they would have moved on to a different phrase by now. I mean, even in Utah. Let's see. They don't show any pictures of the DJs. Oh, wait, hold on. What's the morning show? Because I think this is from the morning show.
I don't want to list the DJs anyway. Too much chattering.
Well, this is less talk, though, Tim.
Okay.
It's the FM 100 morning show with Brian and Rebecca. Brian Fox with two X's.
Edgy.
Yeah. And Rebecca, well, he's Salt Lake edgy. Mm. And Rebecca Cressman, who looks like a man, baby. I mean, this is the first time I've seen her. She's a stout-looking woman, isn't she? All right, I'm sorry. Well, that doesn't really matter. Let me just play this. This is, now, like a lot of radio stations, this FM 100 station in Salt Lake, they have afternoon and morning drive traffic services, where it's somebody in a helicopter, and the person, they go on the
same. Oh, like Metro.
Exactly. So, you know, wrong way, Laverne. What's up with the traffic? Well, I'm up here in the traffic copter, looking down at I-15, and it's, Sarah, what would they say? What would a typical traffic sentence be?
Bogged down?
I don't know. I've blocked it.
Come on.
A typical traffic sentence?
Yeah, like what's the thing a traffic person would say?
Bumper to bumper?
Yeah, there you go. Bumper to bumper all the way down to the I-15. Stop and go through whatever the downtown metro area is.
There's a SIG alert. I think that's only L.A.
And then you sign it off with something like either a spot, like an advertisement or a sponsor mention.
You know them by heart.
Or yeah.
Tim and I still do.
Well, what would a sign-off be? I'm just giving some context to what they're going
to
hear.
Okay, this traffic report is brought to you by RE/MAX Associates. Buying or selling a home? Nobody sells more homes in Portland. Experience this knowledge. Supported by state-of-the-art technology.
Ah, that's horrible.
Yeah. It is.
That makes me cringe.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, so now listen to what this woman says. The first thing you'll hear is the DJ throwing it to the traffic person, mm-hmm. and then the traffic person gives her traffic report. And I don't know if she's high.
Is it worse than Jenny?
No, I mean, it's in a different way. I don't know if she's, I'm not saying any of these things are the case, but I'm saying based upon what you're about to hear, I don't know if she is intoxicated on life or perhaps a drug, but drunk, just crazy, having some sort of a vision. You'll understand. Now, keep in mind, this is Salt Lake City where people are a little nutty to begin with, and I'll have to play it probably twice because she starts to mumble a little bit at the end, but check this out. This is pretty great. This is KSMI.
The 100 Morning Show has Mother's Day prize packages.
Oh, this is Brian Fox.
Be listening to Brian and Jill Monday morning, probably around 6:15 or so. That's how you get your day started with a lot of fun and those 30-minute music sets. Let's see how the roads are rolling with Time Saver Traffic. Here's Christy Snow.
Thanks, Bill, and several issues to pass along. The major roadways beginning to clear out nicely. Southbound I-15 looking better from 33rd South all the way out to the 44th South. Heading into Davis County, you'll still run into some slowing in the Bountiful area for the most part. People are moving pretty well. And we're grateful for this wonderful day, and we humbly say these things in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The music's too loud for one thing.
And note how the guy has no response. The guy is just sort of sitting there agape. I'll play that last part again. It's like that audio tape we had of Bruce Williams years ago where he was mixing painkillers and he started talking about having a warehouse full of cocktail sauce.
Or in Live from Baghdad when he starts talking about the sandwiches.
Yeah. On 12-grain bread. Although I have no idea. And keep in mind, I believe she's in a helicopter. So that's going to work out badly. So she starts mentioning...
Well, in all honesty, there's probably somebody flying the helicopter for
Let's
her.
Hope. So she starts talking. She does the traffic. And then she just does what I assume is some sort of just stock prayer that she has committed to memory about thanking in this name and all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Spilling several issues to pass.
And you can, she starts to slur.
Yeah, she sounds kind of drunk.
And it gets progressively worse as she goes on. The slur gets more pronounced.
Now the roads are rolling with Time Saver Traffic. Here's Christy Snow.
That's a real name.
Thanks, Bill, and several issues to pass along. The major roadways beginning to clear out nicely. Southbound I-15 looking better from 33rd South all the way out to the 44th South. Heading into Davis County, you'll still run into some slowing in the Bountiful area for the most part. People are moving pretty well. And we're grateful for this wonderful day, and we humbly say these things in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, I heard it that time.
Jesus
and
Christ.
We humbly say these things in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well done. Well done, Christy Snow.
Well, they actually say things like that on the air.
Well, I think when they're high, they do. I'm unclear. I mean, that raises a good issue, actually. That raises an interesting question about whether it is possible that that's just part of the sign-off at FM 100 in Salt Lake City.
Is it an independent network, or is it one owned by some
I'm looking. KSFI, well, it is owned by Bonneville. It's owned by Bonneville.
Those are the Mormons.
Bonneville, who I believe they are... I think Bonneville is an arm of the Mormon Church, of the LDS Church, because I think Bonneville also owns KSL, which is sort of the big Mormon news station there. But still, I don't think that's a thing you're supposed to say on the air. I think that sounds to me like somebody was mixing their meds a little bit. So that doesn't... It's because
maybe the copter was going down quickly. big loss of altitude in there.
maybe. Man, things were going poorly on the flight. She just decided it was... They do, apparently, I'm looking at the website. I guess they do have a recurring... Oh, look at this. They have a recurring section here, or a recurring feature. Join FM 100 as we celebrate this election season with the FM 100 Pledge of Allegiance. And so every day, they have a different school child on the morning show to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. That tells you... And there's a huge link at the bottom that says, about Bonneville Broadcasting's values. So, that being said, I still don't really know that you're... I think that does sound like an accident. It sounds like something that she should not have been saying, or was not expected to say, anyway. So, there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley, kids.
Well, after a three-week investigation, officials in Winchester County, New York, say a Playland amusement operator died accidentally. 21-year-old Gabriella Guerin should not have been riding the Mind Scrambler.
Really?
She was kneeling backwards on the ride, waving her arms frantically when she fell off and was killed.
Oh.
An 18-year-old man who was operating the ride turned it on not knowing she was not properly strapped in. The Mind Scrambler has been shut down for good.
And where is this at?
White Plains, New York.
Mind Scrambler.
I barely knew her.
The Mind Scrambler just seems like an unpleasant ride. That's sort of like the, you know... That's sort of all the things I'm coming up with are profane. I can't even, and they all start with ass. It's all ass, you know, blanker. Mind Scrambler seems like a horrible device that they would put you in a poorly done science fiction film from the 1960s. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you will not give me the information I need to know. Well, we will see if the Mind Scrambler can shake your thoughts free, Mr. Bond. That's totally within you with his like pinky extended. Hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, man, the Mind Scrambler kind of sounds like the Nutcracker ride, where it's just a boot on a pendulum coming down into the junk.
Thank you.
Well, I was actually going to comment on that crazy Mormon lady, though.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that sounded like she was, like, closing a prayer.
In terms of full disclosure, I don't really know that she's Mormon, although, given the fact that she's a broadcaster in Salt Lake reporting on a Bonneville radio station, it does seem overwhelmingly likely. And again, obviously, I don't have any problem with everybody says. It doesn't sound to me like that's a... like that's an expected part of the traffic close, though. It sounds to me like somebody was maybe having one too many pills of one kind mixed with one too many pills of another kind, and her brain just sort of defaulted. It's like when you restart your computer and it just brings up whatever screensaver you used last. I think that just defaulted to whatever she was used to saying.
Well, and, I mean, like, it was the way she said it, though, because that whole, like, in the name of thy son, Jesus Christ, like, that is a total Mormon thing. Like, the first thing that popped into my head is, like, I can totally picture her bishop saying, well, you know, because you are on the TV, you really need to, you know, take a stand and make it known who you are and the values you have.
Don't hide your light under a bushel.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, oh, man, I just got shivers thinking about my days in Salt Lake. Ooh.
Spreading the word of Heavenly Father to and fro.
Indeed.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Choose the right. All right.
Bye.
There you go. By the way, speaking of Mormons, my wife and I were sitting on our front porch last night. We were just sitting out because it was kind of hot in the house. And my dog had stuck his face into like a bowl of spaghetti or something. And like the day after we got him washed and his hair cut. He looks all, you know, pure and white as snow. We had him home like for 3 hours and he pulled down a pan of pasta sauce. Head inside the bowl. So now he's just got the big red face. Just looks like an idiot dog. So we had him on the porch. We're trying to brush it out of his hair, and that wasn't really going very well. But my wife, of course, who was a Mormon, you know, a good Mormon girl for most of her life until she met me, there were some missionaries walking up our street, and she kept, like, trying to get them to come talk to us. Like, she kept shouting, like, not in a mean way. I think she just wanted to sort of... I think she views it as her duty to sort of shine her own version of the light of truth onto Mormon missionaries when they come through our neighborhood, because she's always really happy when they come to the door, and she's never rude to them, she's never mean to them, she just always tries to sort of tell them, like, well, you know, there are, you really have to take some time and just see the world for yourself and really just step outside of Utah and just see other cultures for a while. And, you know, she doesn't lecture them and tell them, that, you know, she doesn't denigrate the church or the religion because, you know, she's still respectful of that having grown up in it. But she does sort of gently try to prod them out of the, out of maybe the life that they are in. But these Mormon missionaries kept walking up and down the street, and she kept calling out Mormon slogans to them every time they would pass, hoping that they would come up and talk with us. But they did not. Rick, doesn't sound like she's drunk. She just didn't want to read the copy, so she mumbled through it like a kid rushing through saying grace at a dinner. She's probably not LDS, but was told to say that by her broadcasting and corporate masters. Signed, Matt.
Maybe that's their version of the Remax spot.
Probably. Well, you know, it's weird. You know what's strange is how, and again, we're all Catholics here, except for Scotty, who's a godless, whatever he is. What is he again?
Isn't an Episcopalian?
He's a Protestant, isn't he?
I thought he was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then, you know, my wife was raised Mormon. It's weird, though, how to this day, everybody, no matter what faith you were raised in, can just recite all of that stuff just right off the top of your head. I mean, my wife and the Mormons are really, really hardcore about that. I mean, they got more stuff to memorize than the Catholic Church does. And, of course, the Mormons, it's even trickier with them because all of their things are proprietary. Like, they're sort of the Macintosh of the church world. They don't have open architecture. They don't have cross-platform hymns. All of the stuff that you sing and all the stuff you recite in the Mormon church was, like, written, so they're like the Scientologist. They have all of their own stuff, all of their own songs, all their own prayers, all of their own recitations. Like, I'll sing a hymn to her sometimes, and she just doesn't recognize any of it. And she has all of these weird, it is sort of like a weird wizarding world, muggle world kind of a thing, where she has all of her own stuff that she learned that doesn't bear any resemblance to any other church I've ever heard of. Let's see. This is a guy calling about bacon gravy and the Mormon lady. Hi. Sounds like a morning
show
somewhere. Hi.
First of all, the crazy Mormon lady. It reminds me of that. I'd like to thank you, baby Jesus, for this bountiful supply of KFC and Taco Bell and free flowing traffic. And also,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's that Talladega night.
Oh, which I have not seen, so that's why. All right.
Okay. And anyway, he keeps thanking baby Jesus for his bountiful supply of KFC and whatnot. Anyway,
that's wonderful.
Good part. Okay. You should watch it.
Excellent.
And the only way to make bacon better is by dipping it into like that brownish gray gravy.
Tim, don't you agree?
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank
anyway,
you.
Like best show ever.
Thank Jesus for this bountiful supply of bacon gravy.
Exactly.
All right, that's enough to get me to watch it. All right. Let's do one more with Tim Riley, then we'll take a break. Come back with more.
Well, an amusement park patron may sue Dania Beach Amusement Park in Florida at a ride called the Blunder. Carlos Mejia.
The Blunder?
Nope, the Blender.
Oh.
He noticed that his seatbelt was coming loose.
He tells us how he felt while riding the Blender.
I was so scared, man. I was just grabbing my seatbelt, tried to don't look down, man. I was afraid to die.
I am never riding on a roller coaster ever again.
What kind of ride was it?
The Blender.
Does it describe what kind of ride? Is it an upside down ride?
Let's see. It resembles a giant swing set. It propels people into the air.
That makes me want to
cry. It resembles a giant swing set. It recently passed a surprise inspection.
I like it.
Oh my God. Because you get on those rides, you know, and they're like, and they put them on, and they still feel a little wiggly. But you're like, they wouldn't put me in anything unsafe.
No, of course not. For a minute, I thought the ride was called the Blunder, which would have made it even better. What are you riding? The Mistake?
See, I have
the Shoddy?
I have one more ride story.
Oh, please. Oh, no. Okay, but while you're doing that, I'm perversely driven to look up a picture of the Blender. Mm-hmm. Where is this? In Florida, but where?
This is Florida. This is at Dania Beach Amusement Park.
How do you spell it?
D-A-N-I-A, like the furniture store.
Dania Beach
Amusement Park.
All right. And there was no, and there were the seatbelts were, his seatbelt strap was breaking?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Then there's the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. It's going to be closed to repairs for up to 9 days. Apparently, one of the 9 cables on the South Lake snapped Saturday and caused a power failure that trapped hundreds of people inside the monument.
There's a limit to what we can do. Only so many people fit on a tram. A tram can only go up and down so many times a day.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? I'd hate to be riding any other kind of tram. You never know what's going to happen on those. I can't find a picture of the blender. That's probably just as well.
It's been removed from service.
Now, can I tell you this? That is not unlike the girl who had her, whose insides became her outside.
That wasn't a ride.
No. It wasn't. It really
wasn't a ride.
She didn't move at all. She just sort of stayed in that one spot. No, the thing about, but this is like that in the sense that that business of the seatbelt slowly breaking and coming apart while you're on, like, an amusement park ride is sort of a phobia of mine. And every time I've ridden a roller coaster recently or a thing that whips you around or like a brain scrambler or like a, like a butt stabber or whatever that other thing was called. I mean, that's the thing. I always look down and I'm always checking the rivets. I'm always checking the webbing is sewed together on the seatbelt. And I'm always just, and have you ever done this? Here's a true story. And then we'll break. And we'll come back with calls, more of Tim Riley. Because do we just have thousands of news stories still to get to?
Oh, at least 1,000.
All right.
If not a billion.
We have a squillion news stories. This is a true story. I was on a plane one time flying an airline that I will not, I won't identify the airline.
Well, you can if you want to.
Let me just say, I won't identify because the experience never repeated itself and the airline has proven to be dandy most of the time. This is the only time it ever happens. So I don't want to paint with a broad brush. But I was on riding a certain airline and I got on the plane. And, you know, I try to just do all the safety stuff as soon as possible so I can just then put on the headphones, at least back when you were allowed to do that, and then just, you know, ignore the whatever. So she's not coming by, you know, while I'm trying to sleep and going, sir, please put on your seatbelt and can I get you to put your seat tray up or, you know, whatever the hell that thing is. So I do all that stuff immediately with it so they don't have to come by and wake me up and tell me to do it. So I get in, I stash my bag, I make sure there are no, you know, nothing hanging around that's going to, like, tumble around the cabin in case that we, you know, crash or whatever. I put my tray table up, I put my seatbelt on, and I'm totally ready. My seat is up so that she doesn't have to bother me at all because I'm planning the nap. I put my seatbelt on, I'm real tired, I'm thinking, okay, I'll buckle up, I'll lean against the window with my pillow, and I'll just snooze for most of the flight. I fasten my seatbelt, and because I'm kind of tired, I kind of give it one of these, I do the kind of the... And I sort of arch my back a little bit, and I'm sort of like, you know, you kind of arch your back and kind of push out your ribcage a little bit when you yawn. Sometimes you stretch. I stretch, and I swear to God, the seatbelt just came apart. The rivet where it attached to the seat just went, ching, and just snapped and just broke off. But here's the thing, and I didn't tell her because it was a full flight, and I didn't tell her for fear that they would just kick me off the plane. Because there was nowhere else for me to sit. The plane was booked, solid. There were no other seats. And
that's
I knew
true. That's
if,
a good point.
And if I complained, she was going to be like, well, I'm sorry. You can't fly without a seatbelt. You'll just have to wait and get the next available flight, sir. And there's none of that. I'm not going to sit in an airline for like 4 hours or more while I wait for some airline to be. There's just no way. So I went through the. And so what I did is I took the broken end of the seatbelt and I just sort of tucked it there and I kind of put the pillow over it so she couldn't see it. But had there been any sort of an accident, had the plane. Turbulence, wind shear. I mean, I would have been hosed. I would have flown out of my seat, like, all the way forward and smashed into the cockpit door like a moth hitting a Kenworth windshield. I mean, so there you go. So think about the next time you're on a plane or on a roller coaster. And that was on an airplane, which I think is inspected, like, every day. And you know what broke the seatbelt? A yawn. I yawned, and the seatbelt just came apart. So think about that, kids.
I don't think they inspect them every day because I've flown twice and there have been no SkyMall catalogs in my seat.
That will not stand the blender. All right. Well, should we break? No. Should we just continue? Is that Jim Roop calling in right now? All right. Should we take a good hard look at the way the clock in this program is set up? Is that what we should do? Should we have traffic really sit down?
How about we just start with you giving the legal ID?
Hey, you're listening to KCMG Portland.
I'm so scared, man. I'm just copying that seatbelt tractor. Don't look down, man. I was afraid to die.
Hi, John. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
What was that? That was spooky sounding.
Yeah, that was a guy whose seatbelt was coming apart while he was on a roller coaster type ride, sir.
It kind of sounded like the guy going out the window of the airplane a couple of weeks ago. Two observations. One, Kyle, or that young boy, I forget his name, was talking about his uncle's bacon-flavored cigarette paper.
Oh, Logan was talking about his uncle had bacon-flavored rolling papers.
Logan's great. That's how Scotty J sneak in his cigarettes.
How do you mean, sir?
Comes in smelling like bacon.
Because he's rolling them at home himself in something in some uniquely flavored paper.
What else could it be? I mean, obviously. The other thing is, you were talking about crime and the underworld and everything. Has anybody there read the book Portland Confidential?
No, I own it, but I have yet to read it.
Is that the Polonic book?
No, that's Fugitives and Refugees.
Okay. No, yeah, I have not seen that.
Really? Oh, it's I think it's written locally, and it's fairly new. But it doesn't – that special talks about a few things that they missed in Portland Confidential, but it's amazing. It talks all about the speakeasies and the prostitution and the gambling and the this and the that. There's one character they follow when he gets out of California State penal colony or whatever in 1930-something. Uh-huh. By the end of the book in the 60s or the late 50s, he's risen to the top, you know, like taking over other people's pinball franchises and stuff like that.
Right on. That's so
and,
cool.
There's a photograph of him sitting across the table from the Kennedy brothers during the federal they were, you know, doing this big thing in the 50s on organized crime.
Yeah, the crackdown.
It's an amazing book. It
Portland
really is
Confidential.
Good.
Excellent.
Portland Confidential. You can easily read it in a day. It's very good.
Is
very
it related? Do you know if it's related to the AMC or the A&E series of the same? Because there's that City Confidential, they do a different city every time.
You know, I know that the book is at least a year and a half to 2 years old.
All right,
so
I'll check it out.
I wouldn't doubt that they didn't use it for source material to gather their story because, but like I say, they didn't have anything in the book about Hubers or anything like that. So, but it's just fascinating because Portland is so progressive and everything like that, and it's just, you know, it's great.
Portland does have, you know, Portland, it's easy to paint Portland with a real broad brush and to say that it's just hippies or that it's just, you know, whatever, it's just a whole bunch of people joining the Green Party and, like, living in a tree or something. But,
yeah,
I mean,
so
there is this whole weird, you know, there are many, many shades of darkness to this town.
Well,
that really is true.
Tim's interest in film noir, he would have loved Portland, I think, in the 30s and the 40s.
Well, someday when we have the Wayback Machine, that's where we'll send him for a remote. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's,
yeah, because this station's been here since the 1920s, so we would have been on the air.
And what was this? Was it originally?
This was Coin Radio.
Coin Radio, that's
and
right.
And the studios were at the Heathman Hotel, and it was the most modern studio of its time.
Have you seen? Are there photographs?
Yeah, there are.
Craig Adams probably has those, because I haven't seen photographs of that.
And a big piano and an orchestra there,
really?
And a harp at the top of the stairway.
We ought to do that. We ought to totally do like a whole week where we broadcast as though, you know, like the kind of the way that they did, you know, that radio days.
We need
style.
An orchestra.
I could get one of those.
All right.
It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Radio correspondent and living God, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
It's a good day, sir.
It's a good day in like 100 different ways. Yeah. I walked into the studio this morning and Sarah just said, it was one of those days where she was just speaking elliptically. She couldn't even form. Rick, oh my God, the best news. Have you seen the mugs? Lindsay, the whole, Brittany, head, and it was like I wanted to put like a bag over her head and make her breathe real deeply for a while. It's a great day. Let's talk about, we had a little bit of breaking news yesterday. Let's talk about Drew Carey.
Yeah.
So that's the least interesting of all of today's stories, but I know that I guess it does sort of seem inevitable that certain guys end up in certain jobs, and I guess Drew Carey really does seem like one of those guys who is well-suited to be a game show host.
Well, he's sort of this congenial kind of comedian that seems to be able to work well in both prime time and daytime.
And he's sort of like, I mean, nobody really loves him, but nobody really dislikes him.
Yeah, there's nothing to dislike about him, really. I mean, he doesn't really offend anybody. You know, he's kind of one of those guys that his self-deprecating humor makes him lovable to many people. He doesn't poke fun at anybody.
Right. You know, and he's like, yeah, he's just one of those guys that's got a high recognition factor. Even, look, I got to tell you this, I've seen maybe 4 episodes of the Drew Carey Show in my life, but everybody knows who he is. He is disproportionately famous, which is fine. I don't begrudge him that. It's a hard business to make it in. So he is famous, like, way beyond what he ought to be. But that does indicate that he does have, he has what Stan Freberg called gazinkus, just a sort of a something.
If you've ever seen his stand-up routine, it's very funny. Before he got that sitcom.
Right.
I mean, he's a very funny guy. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. The Price is Right has to change. It cannot stay the same. And I don't know if I want to be the guy that follows Bob Barker. I think I want to be the guy that follows the guy, because usually the guy who follows the guy is the transitional guy.
Absolutely. And unless they just completely make it
unless
over.
He's like a Jay Leno who was successful after Carson.
I was just going to say, and that the only reason Jay Leno was successful is because he was kind of going into a debt spiral, and Leno, I think, somebody pulled him aside and was like, hey, you're going to get hosed. And Leno revamped that show, you know, because for the first year and a half, sort of those Helen Kushnick years, Jay Leno was basically just doing Johnny's show. And it took Leno a while, and I think some ratings brushes with near death to kind of figure out that he had to change something.
Yeah, well, he got rid of Helen and decided to get take control of his own destiny there, and that's what did it for him.
Have they said what the Price is Right? Have they said if they're going to change anything else? Do they know?
Oh no, and they would not release it. I mean, they're going to wait until Drew Carey. I'm sure that they are talking about that right now. They've probably been talking about how it's going to change since they decided to tap Carey for it. It's going to be it'll probably be a more entertaining show.
Mm.
They'll redo the set. They'll have different items. It's not going to be a bar of soap anymore.
I'm sorry, I had a big mouthful of a beverage here, but I was going to ask you this. Are they just running Best of Bob Barker's now?
I don't watch the damn thing, so I have no idea.
Excellent. No one does. I've asked like 100 people out there, like, I don't watch.
I think it's on at like 10 o'clock in the morning or something. Who's got time to watch that?
I will tell you this. The unemployed, the old, and college students.
Well, it's very popular with college students. At least it was for a time, and it may become that way again if Drew Carey does a great job.
I think college students, there's a couple shows that they're sort of phases of your life that you go through. And it's like sort of a way station. And I think college students or people of that age who wake up and they're sleeping it off or they're doing whatever, they're killing time before class or doing whatever, and they sit and they watch soap operas and The Price is Right and SpongeBob, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kind of, when you leave college and get a real job, then you sort of move on from that. So.
And you know what things cost.
That's the other thing. When you're a college student, you totally know what things cost. You're having to buy stuff. But then blah, blah, blah. Let me just read this email that I got today. I got many emails. This is a representative one. Hey, Rick. Jim Roop was on CNN this morning at about 6:30 Pacific Standard Time talking to Robin Mead, who is hot as balls, about Lindsay Lohan, who is not hot as balls. Yes, I am a news hound, so I always know when Lisa Goddard or Jim Roop are on CNN. Smiley, winky emoticon. First of all, Robin Mead, hot as balls?
I don't know.
Were you able to see her? Were you able to...
I was watching the monitor, yeah.
All right. I don't know who that is because I'm not up that early watching television.
She's cute.
All right.
CNN does a great job of hiring decent-looking talking heads.
That really is true. You were on what time about Lindsay Lohan?
I don't know what time it was I was on.
Apparently it was, well, it at least aired at 6:30, so I'm not sure if you did a live shot or
anything. I said it was live, so it must have been 6:30.
So I am sort of deliberately out of the loop on the Lindsay Lohan thing because I didn't want to get sidetracked by it really early on in the program, so.
Well, I got very lucky in being able to scoop the network on that. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
And so is this, now Sarah was telling me, now were you saying, Sarah, that it's another business of them just not having a driver?
No, well, let Jim Roop tell it.
Oh, it's a great story, though. Apparently, Lindsay Lohan is partying in Malibu, and at some point in Santa Monica around 1:30 this morning, and she was driving through the area or something, because from what I understand, it wasn't a very long chase. She saw in another car the mother of her personal assistant that quit just a few hours earlier.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, decided to chase mom down. This went on for a little while. Mom didn't know who this person was that was chasing her. So she's on the phone with Santa Monica police saying, hey, I'm being chased. You got to come get me. She pulls into the Civic parking lot, which is real close to the police station. The cops arrive and find two women in what was described to me as a heated debate. Turns out one of them is Lindsay Lohan, the other one mom of the personal assistant
right.
who quit. Cops say, whoa, we're smelling some booze here. And according to one of the cops, she was a real B with a capital B on the scene there. She wouldn't submit to a sobriety test. She had to do the walk the line test and failed it, so they took her downtown. Well, they took her across the parking lot to the police station. She blew a .12 and a .13.
And what is the legal limit? 0.08?
0.08, yeah. So 12%, 13%
alcohol. So she's drunk and a half.
In blood. Oh, yeah. So then she's there waiting for her attorney. While they're searching her to put her in the slammer, they find some white powdery substance that tested positive for cocaine base. Now, she's got five charges. Two DUI charges, A and B, driving with a suspended license, possession of a controlled substance, and transporting that controlled substance inside a jail facility. She didn't have the smarts to throw the crap in the car.
Seriously, I mean, at least toss it out the window.
You know, I mean, that's how drunk she must have been.
Jeez, was there
and that's when she got cooperative, we understand, inside the police station.
Was there anybody with her in the car?
Two other friends were in the car. Don't know who they were. And the identity of the mom of the personal assistant hasn't been given to us,
Jesus.
At least not to me anyway, just yet.
Again, it always goes back to that thing.
Wait, it gets weirder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She's wearing one of those voluntarily because of her Beverly Hills DUI thing. And the court date for that is August 24th. She's wearing one of those voluntary bracelets that monitors alcohol consumption.
Right.
So why that thing wasn't working after drink number one, I have no idea.
Well, what happened? Okay, let me ask you this. You're wearing one of those bracelets. Is it like a house arrest thing where it transmits to like some home-based community? Like, attention,
yeah,
attention.
Some agency monitors those, but yeah.
Okay, it alerts people elsewhere that you're drinking.
Yeah, it's like a Jeep. It works on sort of like a GPS.
Okay, all right.
From what I understand. Because I'm dumber than a sixth grader, so whatever. It apparently was not being read, or it wasn't working properly. But finally, the attorney for Lindsay Lohan, who bailed her out, $25,000 bail, said that she had been doing great. Yesterday, relapsed. Yeah. But I don't think this was the first time. I think she's always been.
Well, and if the bracelet wasn't working, then there's just no way to tell.
Unless it was working, and because it's not the cops that get notified, it's this agency.
Right.
And then the agency, I think, notifies the lawyer.
I see. And they're not necessarily going to go run into the New York Post and say, hey, by the way, Lindsay's drinking.
No, because it's voluntary. Oh. And so I think you get to pick the agency, and so you say, hey, look, you see anything on that monitor? Call me first.
Yeah, give me a call.
Yeah.
All right, so is she just hosed? I mean, in a post-Paris era, what are they going to do to her?
She's done. She's done. I don't know anybody who's going to hire her.
I mean,
not for a while.
And she has some movie that's supposed to be opening this weekend, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, she's not going to be on the Tonight Show tonight as originally scheduled. It's really sad, you know. She's 21 and not smart enough after Paris Hilton to hire a freaking driver.
Well, that,
another thing is, according to one of the police officers I talked with this morning, the car she was driving wasn't hers.
So who do we know who it belonged to?
The Yukon in which she was driving with two other friends in the car was not owned by Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, please. I'm hoping against hope that it wasn't owned by either of the other people in the vehicle. I'm hoping that she just took it from someone. I mean, that's the only thing that would make this better. Lindsay Lohan's attorney, Blair Burke, issued the following statement in response to her arrest this morning. Addiction is a terrible and vicious disease. Uh-huh. Since Lindsay transitioned to outpatient care, she has been monitored on a scram bracelet and tested daily in order to support her sobriety. Throughout this period, he continues, I have received timely and accurate reports from the testing companies. Late yesterday, however, I was informed that Lindsay had relapsed. The bracelet has now been removed. She is safe, out of custody, and presently receiving medical care.
Really?
So what are we... If she... it's so hard to keep track of this. What was she going to trial for or to be... What was the August 24th thing? Was that her...
No, the August 24th is the trial date for what happened in December.
And that was also DUI?
She ran into a tree.
That's right.
Remember?
Was that when she was vomiting on herself?
Yeah.
So what is...
It wasn't December. It was a few months, November. I don't remember when it was.
So what could they do to her at this point? If she...
She's violating a probation or parole or something, isn't she?
Sure. I'm assuming the answer is yes.
She's going to jail, man. There's no judge going to say, all right, no problem. He's going to put her in jail.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but she does not look like she's going to function well in jail. On the other hand, though.
Neither did Paris.
No, that's true. But on the other hand, we were noting this, that she doesn't look like she'll function well in jail, but on the other hand, she does look exactly like the type of person who really belongs in jail. I mean, she looks like any number of mugshots we see from some of the outlying areas here in Portland, and she does look like I don't know if they do this in California, but there's such a huge meth problem here. They do this photograph thing where they'll show you a woman in, like, 1989, and then they'll show you the same woman in, like, 1994, and it's, like, the 10 stages of meth addiction, and she gets progressively more, like, crypt keeper looking. Lindsay Lohan looks like picture number 4 right about now. Yeah. I mean, she looks like a Reagan in The Exorcist. You know what I mean? Like Linda Blair.
She's only 21, but she's... You know, it's like 9 miles of bad road.
Really, it's true. No, she does look like she's one or two mistakes away from just working at a Waffle House somewhere in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
So
she will be replaced by Rob Schneider on the Tonight Show tonight.
Really?
That seems appropriate.
So we all lose.
Yeah.
Everyone loses except for Rob Schneider. Oh, my God. All right. Well,
he's the guy you call when no one else will answer.
Siri, he's at the bottom of the list.
Although I talked to him at the Super Bowl a few years ago, and he was a pretty funny guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's a real cool guy. When you put the mic down or the camera down, and he just talks to you, he's really funny.
It just seems like I just have the urge to punch him whenever he.
Yeah, but man, he turns that off.
Yeah, I would hope.
When
so.
You just talk to him and having a beer or something, it's just you know talking sports, having a good time, you know.
So is she? She's not an idiot. So she's not in jail right now.
No, she's out on $25,000 bail.
When is the next time she's going to be expected to show up in court? All right, but at some point.
I don't know if they'll combine these two. Well, no, the other one's in Beverly Hills. So I don't know what this is going to happen. But she's in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
You know, because two of these are felonies now. You know, the possession and transporting inside a jail facility. Those are felonies.
They got to nail hundreds of people on that every year, these idiots who just forget that they've got, like, an 8-ball or something just hit in their boot, and they walk right into the police station.
I don't know.
I mean, that's got to be one of those things that's like one of those Roach Motel, laws that they set up, because they know that the people who are high or just dumb will forget to throw away everything in their pockets, and they'll walk right in there, and they've got a big crack vial stuck right in their pocket
or
something.
Well, the greatest tool for law enforcement is... the stupidity factor in criminals or anybody who breaks the law.
It's true.
Because everybody screws up. If you break the law, you're going to forget something. You're going to do something wrong. That's how they catch them.
Yeah.
That's it. Because they did something stupid. And that's one of the prime examples of how stupid people who break the law are. They forget something as simple as throw the stuff on the seat of the car.
I mean, because at least then you can make a case that
it's not mine.
It's my friends. I found it.
It's not my car. It's not my stuff.
Exactly. But, you know, so. Yeah, and I didn't realize until you pointed it out that, I mean, those are two big felony charges hanging right on her. So,
yeah, that's the first thing I asked. Well, aren't those felonies?
Jesus.
Yes, they are.
And just, do you think, real quick, and we're over time here, but real quick, do you think that the whole Paris thing is going to make it, they're going to be harder or more lenient on Lindsay because of the Paris thing?
They'll be harder on her.
You think?
Well, Paris Hilton seemed to do that time standing on her head.
That's true.
Lindsay can too.
That is the finality in your voice really sums that all up for me. Excellent.
I'll drive her to the friggin' jail.
Well done. God bless you, Jim Roop.
I'm here to help, sir.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There you go, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. That's wonderful. It is a great day. Sarah spoke the truth about that this morning. That's wonderful. All right. Hey, we come back. Guy has a shoddy airplane equipment story. Another man has a story about a helicopter going down. Here's someone else whose seatbelt malfunctioned on a roller coaster. And a guy calling us from Colorado. Stay there. More of Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley. I'm Rick Emerson. We're all back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson radio program. This email says, Rick, I wouldn't say that Lindsay's career is over. Two names come to mind, Robert Downey Jr. and Drew Barrymore. That's true. Drew Barrymore was washed up for a while. Add that to the fact that Lindsay actually does have talent in acting and the fact that America loves a comeback story. It's not out of the question she could make it. However, based on how she handled this last arrest in rehab, maybe not. Now I'm going to go think about Drew Barrymore a whole lot more. Okay, sir. Drew Barrymore, though, it's different because Drew Barrymore... she was sort of grandfathered in because she was a child star. Because she was so young.
But so was Lindsay Lohan. But not as big of a child star. But she was in Freaky Friday.
How old was she, though?
She was 12.
Yeah, but Drew Barrymore was famous at like 5.
But her family is famous for abusing alcohol.
And that's the other thing. She also is grandfathered in because... Isn't her grandfather John Barrymore?
And her dad.
Her dad.
Her dad abandoned her. Her grandfather was an alcoholic, so, yeah. So was her aunt.
So there's a certain tragic romance to it. And Drew Barrymore was in E.T. when she was like 5, and then she was in Firestarter right after that. So I think she had a few years on Lindsay Lohan, but more importantly, because Drew Barrymore's fame came in E.T., which is in, what, 1983?
Yeah.
It was before the paparazzi. It was just before the internet, basically. Because we were talking about this early. Is what sparked my whole conversation about that Sweet Smell of Success film. Is that it's so... Hollywood used to be able to keep things, I think, a lot quieter. And I think, as TMZ has shown, that time has passed. You can't cover anything up like this in Hollywood. You know, routinely, studios used to have gossip columnists on their payroll. To reveal or not reveal who was, you know, had an alcohol problem, you know, who had some personal life that they were hiding, what a divorce they were hiding, who had a third, you know, secret marriage they were hiding, or an illegitimate child, or a drug problem, or, you know, whatever. And I just think, I don't think you can keep that under control the way you used to. Well, I don't know. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
With a quick blast of 650 pounds of explosives, demolition began today on the century-old Marmot Dam on the Sandy River, cracking its concrete face and sending a cloud of smoke into the heavens. Having shortly afternoon time, it should make it easier for the fish to spawn from now on. Elsewhere on the show business world, do I have the right thing here? Hang on. Oh, here I go. Scott Baio is the subject of a new reality show that focuses on the fact he hasn't been married yet. The VH1 series Scott Baio is 45 and single features the former Happy Days star. He says Erin Moran, his former Happy Days co-star, made fun of his male bodily part when he talked to her.
We talked to her in episode 1, which aired Sunday before last, and she told me I had some physical issues.
Meanwhile, maybe the third time's a charm for Just My Luck star Lindsay Lohan. Now, Huddy Fleiss, who's a Hollywood madam and a drug addict herself, says it doesn't surprise her that Lohan did drugs at Promises.
It's actually quite common in rehab. My first time in rehab, I was begging for someone to bring me drugs, too. And unfortunately, the places like Promises, and I don't think they really work. The only one that really works is something that's very hardcore.
Wait, hold on. First of all, I didn't know you were done with the Scott Baio story. I thought we were waiting for another soundbite. Let me just back up on that. I haven't seen that, but I know a lot of people who did watch it. Dave Zinn is
watching
it. Really? Is it good?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Because Joni's watching it, too. Blah, blah, blah.
He talks with a mouthful of food.
Really?
Yeah, he's gross.
What is the point of the show? I mean, I know the hook is that he's 45 and single, but is there...
And he has this entourage that tries to keep him out of trouble.
Is there a goal? In other words, is the point of the show to find him a girl?
I suppose it is, yes.
So he is 45 and single, and so the hook of the show is that they're going to try to find Mrs. Wright for him.
Correct.
Well, okay.
They did it with the... what's his name on...
Flavor Flav.
That and Christopher Knight. And already he's having trouble with her, and that was a terrible match.
Oh, was that My Fair Brady?
Yeah.
Was that what that was?
Yeah. I watched
right.
that.
Have any of those marriages really lasted?
Well, apparently Christopher Knight and that chick are still married, but there have been problems. I don't see why he married her anyway.
And it seems like if Scott Baio was 45 and single, it seems like there's probably a reason for that. He's probably by choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like... I mean, so I guess maybe it's... I mean, I'm saying the obvious, but I guess maybe it's just sort of a front for the purpose of the show, mm-hmm. and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Robin Mead, CNN, hot as balls. Yes, I got a picture of her right here. Thank you, sir and madam, whoever just sent that to me. Okay, and then the Lindsay Lohan thing. A, it's pretty bad when you got Heidi Fleiss coming to your defense. That's like the best you can do. B, is Heidi Fleiss saying backhandedly in the story that Lindsay Lohan did drugs while she was in the rehab center?
It's been reported that she was doing drugs.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I kind of am, actually.
Maybe that's one of the promises that promised.
We promised you won't have to go a day without drugs. Who's reporting that?
Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah, and right when she got out, there in Rehab Insider saying that that she was doing them the whole time.
Now
and that she discovered the joy of whippets as well.
I was waiting for someone to say that. Is that nitrous oxide?
I think so.
Because they sell that at Grateful Dead shows. It's like guys with little balloons full of something, but it's I think it's nitrous oxide.
Yeah, I had an ex-boyfriend who had a friend who would just leave those little bottles everywhere. Like they had some kind of little, I don't know, something to open up. I don't know how they work. Whatever, they'd inhale them, and then I guess it was fun. And
I think you're thinking, I say with the vast drug knowledge of the Rick Emerson Show, I think you're thinking of amyl nitrate, which is different.
Like things that power on like whipped cream dispensers.
That's nitrous oxide.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That's laughing gas.
I used to work in a kitchen, actually, in a restaurant, and you would go in there occasionally to prepare a creme brulee or a dessert or whatever, and you'd have to go like 8 or 9 bottles deep into the ready whip thing to find one that worked, because they were all like you press it, and it would just, it was all sad, because this guy Paul had been in there just completely sucking down a whole can of Ready Whip. Oh, I'm sorry. I should take this call. Hello. Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Rick.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hello. This is Leo in Colorado.
Hi, Leo. I apologize. You've been holding for an eternity, for forever and a day. What's up, brother?
Well, nothing's going on. I just call. I'm holding long enough. The first thing I was going to say was Jesus and I love you. But that has kind of gone by the wayside. So.
Oh, I see. Is that a reference to the crazy Mormon woman in the helicopter?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate the thought, sir.
Well, absolutely. Did you just say that Scott Baio was a by choice? I think you just did.
What do you mean? Well, I was saying that he was... I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about now. Yeah, he's doing the show 45 and single, and I was just saying that I don't know. It seems to me, because even recently I think he said that he's bagged some, you know, some pretty hot chicks. I mean, even now when he's sort of past his prime by far. So it seems like, really, what's the point of getting married unless you're just going to shill it for the VH1 dollar, you know, and then
move
on?
Well, he hits them when they first get into Hollywood. Like, you see him because he was with Pam Anderson when she first hit it into... Headed into Hollywood and you know, left her behind, and then, you know, hit a bunch of others. There was a whole people thing my wife had for years and years that was like the legacy of Scott Baio.
It's just astounding. I mean, it's one of those things, I mean, more power to him. You just don't really think about that. Like, when you think about the great ladies' men of our time, you just don't really think about Scott Baio being on the list. And then you hear about it, and it's sort of like, well, all right. It'd be like if you just heard tomorrow that, like, you know, it'd be like if you heard tomorrow that
David Spade.
Well, no, yeah. David Spade, he's another one. But I'm saying somebody you hadn't really thought of, like if you were just to hear that guy who played Chunk in the Goonies had sex with 6,000 women or something, it just doesn't seem right. You know, no, I mean, not that I'm offended
got a better
by
shot,
it.
Really, yeah, I mean, at least he had a tagline and he could dance. So
he could do the truffle shuffle. Yeah. All right.
So big reason I was calling. Coming into town, and you had said something about doing a studio tour.
Yeah, because you're in Colorado, right? Now, are you from Portland originally?
That is correct.
Excellent. Yeah, when are you coming into town?
I'll be in tomorrow. I was wondering, I know Fridays are busy, but I was wondering if there'd be a time on Friday, and I could actually come in, and if you're still doing the Scotty nuzzle off or whatever
the
you're
nuzzle
doing
nuzzle off. you're offering to come in and be a volunteer test kisser.
I'm comfortable with myself, yes.
All right, excellent. I'll tell you what, I'm put you on hold. We'll have Scotty get your email, and we'll drop you an email after the show. We'll figure it out.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you for listening, my friend. Travel safe.
thank you.
There you go. That's Leo in Colorado. All right. Apparently, Susan Reynolds is weighing in on the Scott Baio thing. He has a girlfriend for a year and a half, but he's afraid to commit. So he's hired a life coach who is helping him to find out why he can't commit.
So he's telling him to go meet up with all his ex-girlfriends.
Is making him face his ex-girlfriends and try to learn something about himself, and hopefully he'll be able to pull it together and ask his current... This is a poor man's Breaking Bonaducci. That's totally what this is. His life coach is forbidding him to see his girlfriend for this 8-week period while he figures things out, and she said she'll wait for him, but if he can't commit at the end of 8 weeks, she's out of there. Yeah, this seems like a really bad knockoff of Breaking Bonaducci, but like without everything that's interesting. Well, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's do that long-awaited Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch. Sarah just got the biggest smile on her face.
Think I did it again.
Britney's self-arranged photo shoot and interview with Britain's OK magazine was a complete disaster.
Fantastic.
The photos were so bad, executives at the magazine are at this moment trying to decide whether or not to report what actually happened, or to sanitize the truth to protect the pop train wreck. According to multiple sources, Britney's behavior during the interview was nothing short of a meltdown. She was completely out of it. The photos are so bad,
well, to punish them, would publish them, I should say, would kill her career. Britt's eyes rolled back in her head at one point, causing her to look half dead. Her mood was extremely erratic. She took frequent bathroom breaks. And each time she returned, her mood would change.
I wonder why that could possibly be.
She was also completely paranoid during the entire interview, fearing at one point the ceiling was about to cave in on her.
Really?
Now Britt had some better. She had some issues with hygiene on the set as well. At one point, Brittany ordered up some fried chicken. We're told after she chowed down, she wiped her hands on several $1,000 Gucci dress she was wearing for the shoot, staining it with grease. One of her dogs also needed some assistance in the housebreaking department. The dog pooped all over the floor, and Brittany used a Chanel dress to clean it up.
Oh, my God.
As to how Brittany looked for the photos, another nightmare. We learned that OK hired two of the best hair and makeup artists in L.A. to transform the once balding beauty into something more presentable. Well, she wouldn't have anything of it. She refused to let the hired help touch her, opting instead for her skanky friends to do her hair and makeup. No wonder she looks fantastic. In case you're wondering why her mom, slash publicist, slash lawyer, slash friend, slash anyone would help her out, we're told that her cousin Ellie, who until recently was working as her personal assistant, couldn't deal, and he is done with Miss Spears. So we'll see when OK hits the stands this week, if they actually have the balls to print the truth of what happened.
Well, they have to. I mean, it's just been reported
on TMZ. They reported to TMZ that despite the fact that it's going to cut ties with her, that they're going to print it.
Well, of course. How can they not? They've got to know that. I mean, sir. I mean, okay. I got to stop because I'm doing that. I'm getting all overly excited.
I know. I can't wait till Friday. I'm totally waking up in the morning going and buying a cup.
So I came in today, and as I walked in, and Sarah, I hadn't even walked up. One foot was in the door. Said, it's the best news day ever because the Lindsay Lohan thing. I mean, let's touch back on Lindsay Lohan for a second. I didn't really appreciate the seriousness, I think, until Rube laid
it
out.
She is completely screwed.
I didn't really appreciate that it was two felonies.
No, she got her other DUI at the end of May.
And she's on parole.
Yeah, which makes it
probation.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Her license was suspended, I believe.
Yeah, so she's driving on a suspended license, and she just broke probation, and she took cocaine, with the possession of which is a felony, into a police station. And I guess I didn't realize that that was a separate felony. That's like transporting it over state lines or something. So
I hope she gets the electric chair.
I leave it to this program really just to cross every line that there is. So I didn't really appreciate how bad it was for Lindsay Lohan until Roof sort of laid it out. So there's that. And then Sarah has been vibrating in her chair about this Britney thing. And we were talking about this today that we had sort of written Britney off. We had just sort of forgotten about her. Like she was just sort of, like, I guess we thought that there was just nothing else she could do, right? There was no lower that she could sink. I mean, she shaved her head and went crazy on some photographers and then apologized. But then
she was studying for a movie role.
Right. But it's just like Britney settled into this really predictable cycle of saying something stupid and then looking really trashy and taking off her top and showing us her vagina and showing us her stretch marks and getting out of a car with, you know, her crotch exposed and then driving around and smoking a bunch of Camel Straights. And just she had just settled into this sort of rut of just being a hick. And I thought we had kind of the end of the Britney road. So she shoots this. She does this interview with this. Oh, now what is this? OK Magazine. Is it a tabloid?
Yeah, OK Magazine is. It's a British tabloid. I believe they have an American version as well. Because I've seen it. I've seen it in stores.
Now is this the British version they're going to appear in, or is it the American version?
I believe it's the American one because I know that they were filming the stuff for it, like all the pictures and stuff in L.A.
See, they've got to figure that they have nothing to lose by publishing the photos because what's the worst that can happen? She cuts ties with him. Big freaking deal. Mm-hmm. Like, really, what? I mean, even though, I mean, she does continue to surprise us, but it seems like it's worth it because what is she possibly going to do in the future? Not like she's going to have some huge comeback and they're going to need to be in her good graces. So
there's no way. There was like a window in time where I thought maybe a comeback was possible. No, there's nothing.
No.
It just seems that she doesn't care. If she cared, maybe, if she put a little effort into it and, like, tried to be more likable and, you know, actually tried to be a comeback instead of being like, hey, I'm going to throw on the skimpiest outfits possible and go to a couple dance classes and then say I'm ready for my big comeback. It's just pathetic.
I don't think it's that she doesn't even care as such. I think she doesn't realize. I don't think, You know what I mean? I suspect, and this is totally just my dime store psychology, it seems to me, I suspect that Britney Spears just lives in this bubble in her head where it is still 2000, and she's still like the reigning. You know, don't you get that feeling that she still views herself as the queen of pop? That she just has, and it's not even Britney Spears, it's not just that times have changed, period. Like even Christina Aguilera, who we all agree is pretty talented, mm-hmm. you know, even she's not at the level she was because music has just changed. Styles change, fashions change, musical trends come and go. It's not a good time to be a teen pop performer at all, really, unless you're Justin Timberlake, and even he has had to evolve past what he was doing. So that, coupled with her increasingly just erratic behavior and the fact that her looks, which were really what she was, her whole thing was predicated on, those are just gone and not to come back. She no longer even has, like, a speaking relationship with her body at this point. I think her body is just, it's gone away somewhere.
She's kind of become like a baby Jane.
Yeah, it really is. It really is true. Okay. Let me just say this right now. The hottest thing ever, though, at this point, if Britney Spears were to appear on the cover of Rolling Stone dressed in her whatever happened to Baby Jane thing, you know what I mean? Where she's got like the baby doll dress, but it's all torn, and then like the black running mascara. If she was to appear as whatever happened to Baby Jane, that look, that would be completely hot right there. And that alone, that kind of embracing of the look. Yeah, but totally with, like, the running mascara, yeah, that might actually work.
See, I'm still on the bandwagon where if she would have just taken out her extensions and just walked around like a proud bald woman,
yeah,
then she could have totally won over the public, like, bought up People magazine or something, gone on People looking straight into the camera with just no hair on and being like, yeah, I made a mistake. Then I would totally be behind her.
I could have also embraced the bald thing as if she had, whether it was this or not, if she had positioned the bald thing as... you know, I was a fabrication of the record company, and I was a creation of my publicist and my stylist, and you know what? I'm starting at zero. Because that's what Sinead O'Connor did. You know, you know why she shaved her head? When they were getting ready to release her debut album, The Lion and the Cobra, I think it was called, the record company said, now we're going to want you to look more girly. And she came in the next day with her head shaved. And she was just like, F you. And so if Britney had tried to position it that way, that would have been cool. But she's just so beyond that, and I don't think she sees herself... where she really is. I think she looks in the mirror and she still sees herself in 1999. So they have nothing to lose by publishing these photographs. And just the idea of her eating a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever in like a $10,000 dress or whatever and just wiping the grease right on it. I mean, I'll just say it. She's just a hillbilly. I mean, she really is. She's just white trash, which is fine, but that's not... I mean, that's not Britney Spears, whatever her full given birth name is, maybe white trash, but the public persona of Britney Spears is not that. And that's the real problem with her. So it's all very exciting.
They also, somebody else who was on the set added a couple more things that she was doing there.
Would you like
to share? Yeah. They're kind of gross, though.
I must hear them.
All right. She chose outfits that were two sizes too small for her, so rolls of fat were everywhere and anywhere. Okay, she'd talk in baby talk and use the bathroom with the door wide open. And she touched and fondled herself constantly in her regions.
In her regions?
Well, it says in the breast area and...
In her area. No, regions is funnier. It's like that scene in Jersey Girl with... you want to clean out her, you know... Right there in the area. Her regions. And she used the bathroom with the door open?
Yeah.
When you say use the bathroom, this is like a sit-down, not kind of a freshening up.
Yeah, I know it said that she would...
Because I was wondering if you were saying...
I don't know what you can say in the air.
What? Peeing?
Yes.
Well, it's a natural. It's a bodily activity. It's a thing. People do it.
Seems like some, like, out-of-control monkey.
But if she was going
to... calling herself and...
She was going to the picking nits off of her hair. If she was taking frequent bathroom trips and coming back with her mood altered, I was thinking she would, you know, end up, you know, and...
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, so, that's so great, though, that she theoretically, she closes the door only to alter her mood, but leaves the door open when she's going to sit down on the toilet and do her business. And then, having done the business, sits on the couch and touches her regions. Oh, it's wonderful. I love this country. I really do. Who wants to hear Scotty J's biography?
Oh, I do.
All right. Well, Tim, why don't you do one more news story, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with the bio of Scotty J that he has written. It's taken him 3.5 hours to write this.
That sounds wonderful.
So let's do one more story, and then we'll break and come back.
Emergency crews are working around the clock in England, where the worst floods in decades have forced thousands of people to abandon their homes.
I can't wait to go.
Dr. Timothy Brain, the chief constable of Glockenshire Police, says the crisis has passed, but the water could rise again.
The water is still high surrounding Wallham. There is still the prospect of further high peaks later today, about the same time as yesterday at midnight. And we have to consider that the ongoing problem of water retention is going to give us problems in that area.
There is no need to panic.
There is sufficient for personal needs. It is important that people continue to conserve their own domestic supplies and do not panic in respect of getting water.
There is no place to go. England is an island.
You're all going to die. And me too. When I get there.
No, it'll be fine once you get there.
Uh-huh. I told Laura about that you guys have decided I should go to England. She seems right. So here's the deal.
London is flood-proof, by the way. It cannot flood.
How is that possible?
Because they have a system of dams and tributaries, which will not allow that to happen. I looked this up because I knew there'd be an argument today.
I like the fact that you preemptively looked up the series of tributaries that keeps London dry so that I can't find a reason not to go.
Correct.
Now, here's the thing. I sold Laura on going to London, and the thing, she is not, it's not that she doesn't want to see London. She is much more adventurous than myself. So she, of course, is more into seeing some of the more outlying countries. But she did see the logic. She understands why London would be my choice.
Yes.
And why your choice for me. So the deal
is... happiness is more important than anything.
Yes, it's true. So I'm going to be going... The deal is she's going to Europe for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The last of those weeks, I will be there. So I'll be there for the third week. So she's going to go for 2 weeks, and she's going to go to Italy. She will spend 2 weeks in Italy, and then she will join me in England for the final week.
Very cool.
That sounds good.
So she'll have 2 weeks in England, and then she and I... We just for this one brief, tiny moment, I almost sound like I have a life. She'll have 2 weeks in Italy, and then she and I will have a week together in England, and then we'll come home. So there
that
you
does
go.
Sound romantic.
So how does it feel to have me dancing like a little puppet on a string, you bastard?
It's for your own good.
Oh, this is so exciting! We get to plan your trip for you.
Yeah, it's all very thrilling.
We'll have to reserve some tickets to make sure you go to certain places.
Go ahead. I'm handing over my life. It's
you are
no longer...
not allowed to go to Madame Tussauds, though.
What is that, the wax place?
Yeah.
Why? Is
because
it cheesy?
It's just crappy. Yeah,
well,
it's a tourist trap.
I don't want to go there.
There's a wax museum on the coast.
Yeah, and there's always like a line for like 3 hours of like people standing outside.
I don't have any desire to go
you
there.
You know what Diana looks like, Dad. You know when you see the kid.
She looks so death-like. It's amazing. I have no desire to go see that. So, nor do I want to go up and like stare at the British guys who guard the castle or whatever it is. What are those guys?
The beef eaters.
The beef eaters.
Yeah, I stay away from things like that too.
You'll see them though if you go to see the crown jewels because they're outside.
Is that? But that's what I'm talking about. Those
the
guys.
Crown jewels are pretty cool because they're right in the middle of singing around this conveyor belt, so you can't stand there for very long.
Really?
So you just have to
move you along.
Go right by them.
All right. So there you go. Well, we'll make it a whole. It'll be like our own little private reality show. Rick Emerson is forced to leave his house.
And the country.
You can call us on the air.
What's that?
You can call us on the air.
That's true, because, you know, we'll be doing best ofs, but, of course, the news never sleeps.
It doesn't.
So Sarah will be gone. Are you going to be gone that week, too, then?
Heck yeah.
Not even a hesitation.
It'll be
you and Scotty.
The me and Scotty show.
Because you never take any vacations, so the second I found out you were, I'm like, I'm going to New York City.
All right. What was I saying? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I'm going to be I don't have a passport yet.
Well, you better get one.
I know Lara keeps screaming at me. She just sent me an email like 20 minutes ago. Have you gotten your passport? So.
Have you?
No, I haven't. I just got my birth certificate.
Why not begin today?
Okay. Fine. Is my wife paying you to do this?
No.
You're just doing it. You
yes,
just enjoy.
It's such torture that you get to go to England and
no,
we don't.
I'm not saying. Look, there's no need to be snippy. I'm just saying that there does seem to be a certain gleeful enthusiasm as you sort of like
it's
structure.
It's living life vicariously.
Structure this for me. I know, and I'm not trying. Now, let me say this for the record. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be an ass about it because I know that Sarah is. You said that you're kind of jealous that you're not. You know, you would like to be going because you've gone to England. You spent time there,
mm-hmm.
And Tim has as well.
Yes.
And that It's like when you give somebody a book or a movie that you love that they have not read or seen, and you're sort of jealous for them. Like when I give people Youth and Revolt, that book. And every time I give that book to somebody, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for you. I wish I was reading it for the first time. So I'm not trying to, you know, I know it's, I know that it is, most people, it's a thing that most people find very exciting. It's just, you know, it's a little tension inducing. That's all I'm saying. It's just the tiniest bit nerve-wracking. Relax. Have a Chesterfield. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got people who've been on hold for like 4 hours. Scotty, I'm leaving too. Might just be you in a room. Just you and Kristen in that tiny production room again.
No, Scotty, we have to do the show.
Yeah, Scotty, you're not going anywhere. You got a one-way ticket to nowhere. We come back. Scotty J's biography, written by Scotty J. All right, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show live in Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Read this brief Lindsay Lohan email. I'm sorry, Britney Spears email. And then we'll talk about Scotty J's biography. Rick, I've written the same email to you several times over the past year or so, and I posted it on Sarah's blog yesterday. Every time I send this email to you, repeatedly, it fits perfectly. I was listening to a show from 2003, right after Britney married Jason Alexander, and you and Sarah kept saying, quote, there's just nothing she can do to be trashy beyond this point. There's nothing more. There's no lower Britney can go to keep us talking. There's no lower step that will continue this downward spiral. Rick, that was 4 years ago. It's like people continually write of Madonna, but instead of getting us to talk about her work, it's about her crusty armpits or poop dresses. She is... She or groping her regions.
Fondling her regions.
That's the best thing you've ever said, by the way. Fondling her regions. Not region. Regions is what sells that. It's 503-733-2970. Later on in the hour, we'll revisit the Ministry of Truth with top five rock and roll junkies and so forth. And Dennis Pitzenbarger joins us in just a few minutes. Before I do anything else, though, I would be remiss if I did not. So Scotty has this, we mentioned this earlier on. Scotty had this task that he had to get done by the close of business today. Now, I will not identify the company that we're talking about because, you know, for a lot of reasons, but there is a prospective advertiser, somebody who may or may not be doing a little bit of business with CBS Radio Portland and with this station, and they had the idea of having Scotty advertise for this business had come up. And so one of the requirements, though, was that they needed a biography of Scotty J. And so I went to Scotty this morning, myself and the AE in question, and we went to Scotty and said, hey, we're going to need you to crank out a bio for yourself. And I have never seen him under such pressure. And it was like they needed it by close of business today. And so the deal is, Scotty, like by the end of Tuesday, you know, by the end of the day, you got to have a bio written for yourself. And we brought him in at 11 o'clock. And it just seemed like he was on the verge of just emotional collapse about the whole thing. Every time, Tim was just giggling uncontrollably. And every time I would walk by his room back there, he would just be sort of hunched in front of the computer, and he would immediately minimize the Word document when I walked by, as though he didn't want me to lay eyes on what he was writing. And then about 1 o'clock, it started changing. I would walk by Scotty's cave on the way to the bathroom, and he would look up at me, and he would just shake his head, and then he would just sort of imperceptibly sort of slump towards the computer. Anyway, so this is what he's come up with. And don't get me wrong. I've had to write my own bio on occasion. And it's not like, you know, it's a little awkward because how do you write about yourself? And you don't want to make yourself sound like the best thing ever, but you also don't want to downplay yourself, especially if there may be, you know, some sort of business agreement that's writing on it. Here is the biography that Scotty J. has written for himself. And I will leave the name of the business out of this. It, by the way... It's notable that it's like several sentences in before he even mentions himself. KCMD is home to popular personalities. Dennis Miller, Tom Likas, Don and Mike, along with Rick Emerson. Scotty J. is the intrepid, hilarious, and fun time on-air personality with the Rick Emerson Show. Fun time? Scotty J is the intrepid, hilarious, and fun time on-air personality with the Rick Emerson Show. He is also the AM 970 programming assistant with diverse talent for talking with musicians, actors, comedians, creating commercial production, impersonation, and voiceovers. What? When is Scott, does Scotty do impersonations and voiceovers on the show?
I didn't know that he, well, he does impersonations.
When? For who? Let me read it again. He is, when he says talking with musicians, I'm assuming he means like in a guest booking capacity. He is also the AM 970 programming assistant with diverse talent for booking musicians, actors, comedians, creating commercial production, and impersonation and voiceovers. What impersonations does Scotty J do? Has anyone here? I mean, has anybody here heard him do impersonations?
No. I never asked, though. You might be surprised if we do ask.
I actually heard him do one once.
We're going to revisit of who? Wait, Al Pacino?
No.
Wait, Christopher Walken?
No.
William Shatner?
No.
I've exhausted all the big three.
Donald Duck.
No.
Oh, yes, and he does Yosemite Sam.
Why have you never told me that he did Yosemite Sam?
I thought I did. Shame on me. Well, we should get him in here.
Oh, well, that's going to happen.
So that is accurate.
Scotty J, would you like your commercial voice like Yosemite Sam? I can do that. Scotty J is a Portland, Oregon native with a radio broadcasting degree, years of sales, marketing, and local broadcasting experience, including ownership of a successful, here we go, mobile disc jockey entertainment company.
Yeah.
One of the roles Scotty J plays on the Emerson Show is a commentator for a talk segment called Suburban Perspective, where personal points of view are expressed about suburban living and ideals. Topics include local attractions, nightclubs, restaurants, and local achievements. Listeners of the show are prompted to call in with votes or comments on certain topics. The response is typically overwhelming. Scotty J is a great choice for creating buzz about your business. The show runs from 11 to 3 p.m. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, the Rick Emerson Show's Scotty J is a natural fit for your business. Right there, as it closes it. That's fantastic.
That is the hard close.
Really, that is wonderful. Okay, we have to... All right, excellent.
How
could you say no to that?
I could be on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man with many diverse talents, including booking actors, comedians, creating commercial production, and doing impersonation and voiceovers. Programming assistant, Scotty J, who is a natural fit for anyone's business. Hello, Scotty.
Now, for someone who has no talent whatsoever and does nothing but sit around and do the MySpace all day, that thing sounds like I'm just an overachiever.
Let's cut to the chase.
Oh, Scotty. Is someone digging for compliments?
No, actually. I did not know what to write about myself, so I put myself in the... fifth person and, you know, made up a bunch of stuff.
In the what?
Like the fifth person.
Is that like the fifth dimension?
Yeah.
All right.
Something like that.
What is the fourth person?
The fourth person is just, you know, what, three more persons off of the real Scotty J or whatever, and the fifth person.
Yes, how could they turn you down? How could they possibly say no to having you represent their business? They'd be fools.
Literally, I could give you one sentence. Scotty J... is the guy who gets coffee for Rick Emerson. Would you like to have him, you know, would you like to close this account and spend millions of dollars with AM 970 talking about your product with this guy who gets coffee?
Well, that could be an alternative close if the first one doesn't work.
Yeah, if the first one doesn't work, I wouldn't give him the real truth.
You could have two sheets. Two different ones.
Sort of a flow chart.
Yeah.
Did they respond to first close? Yes, no. All right. Let's just...
Here's a guy who answers phone calls and doesn't even listen to what the listeners are saying.
Because he's thinking about your business.
Because he's too busy coming up with interesting ways to advertise your product.
Exactly.
Excellent. All right, let's just cut to the chase. Do you do impressions?
Not really.
Sarah?
You told me, and you just put on your resume that you do impressions.
Are you lying to the client?
Does it look impressive? Yes, I am lying to the client about all of that's a lie. I'm telling you.
You know you're
like
in front of a microphone
right now.
There
could be like
right
a sentence.
Are you
going to
look
there.
At me and tell me that we weren't outside when you were doing the smoking and you didn't do a Donald Duck impersonation?
Well, that's when I was a smoker.
Stop. So you were having a conversation with Scotty.
Yeah.
How did it come up that he does impressions?
I think, Dennis, were you there?
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbarger from Miles Around, Saturday 9-11, and PDXAutoCollect.com.
Scott Daly, it was on a Friday.
So in what context, how did it come up in conversation? And did Scotty say it really proudly? Was it like, and I do impressions?
Not I think really. He was busy telling me about the Scotty J product. And then he threw in the fact that...
Really?
We're going to get a Scotty J bobblehead doll for sale here.
Stop that. All right. No. So what impressions do you do?
I haven't done impressions for years.
It sounds like you did one in the parking lot for Sarah and Scott Daly like a matter of weeks ago.
It was just spontaneous, and I was a smoker back then. No, I used to do little cartoon things. I do not do Donald Duck. I did like...
Was it Daffy Duck?
No, I did like Sylvester, you know.
But do you do impersonations of anybody that is not an animated character?
Well, I used to be good at it. Usually if I can listen to somebody, and then a few minutes later I can and try to say it back.
Do you do an impersonation of a celebrity?
Used to do Clinton, but I don't think I can do half
let's
the
hear,
stuff
I Let's hear your Bill Clinton. Who wants to hear Scotty's Bill Clinton?
Well, Hillary, I'm telling you, I did not have relations with that girl.
It's flawless. I feel like he's right in front of me.
I need
really,
practice.
I close my eyes.
Practice.
It's like I'm in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. So.
I need a character.
And you're not a big impersonator guy anyway, so forget it.
Which cartoon character do you feel you do the best impersonation of, Scotty Joe?
I used to do Sylvester because of my nephews, but that's like, you know, 15 years ago.
Is it because of your lisp?
Probably.
All right.
Who knows?
So Sylvester the cat?
Yes.
All right. Please now to be doing Sylvester the Cat for us.
Son, there is no such thing as a big mouth, and I'm here to prove it to you.
That's about it.
I'm so sad for all of us.
Exactly.
Right now.
I told you.
So
man.
Embarrassed for everyone in
this big lie.
Do you do Yosemite Sam?
I don't even know. I would have to know what he says. You know, he says something about varmints and... I can do a little bit of Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
That's about it. I'm telling you, it's a low-budget lie.
I really wish I were dead. All right.
Yeah.
So you know what, Scott? He's proved that his resume is, in fact, accurate.
Yes. Yes, it is true.
It might not be good, but...
How do you feel about this resume? This biography that you've written
like
for a prospective client.
It needs some cleaning up. It
needs to be punched up.
Yes.
All right.
And the Scotty J, this Scotty J, that. I mean, it's like you said. How do you talk about yourself? And I don't know what to say. And, you know.
I don't know. Sounds like the listeners have got some suggestions. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, this is from Colorado again. I'm sorry. I didn't want to call back, but Scotty dumped the phone call before. And so I was just calling back to get the information that he was supposed to give me, but, well.
Scott, did you mistreat Leo in Colorado?
Not that I know of, because I put you back on hold.
He was busy honing his Bill Clinton impression, sir.
Well, we all have to have our cross to bear, apparently.
Yes.
So, okay. Well,
yes, we do, don't we? All right, well, hold on a second. He'll hook up at the end of this. Okay, don't go anywhere. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey. I don't want to change the topic or anything, but do you know of any local news breaks that are happening right now? Like breaking news?
Should I?
Well, I'm on I-5 North, just about to cross the interstate bridge, and I've seen about a dozen Portland police cop cars screaming by in the southbound lanes.
On southbound on I-5?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get Tim on it, sir.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, my friend.
Must be the IKEA extravaganza.
Hello?
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I just got a comment about Scotty's Bill Clinton impersonation.
Yes.
It sounds like that the neighbor on Family Guy that likes little boys.
I need to hone in on that and work on that stuff a little more.
Yeah. All right. Excellent observation, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Gene. Scotty, with no effort whatsoever, sounds exactly like that Martian on Bugs Bunny, you know. I will zap you, Earthling.
Oh, you're actually...
on Ringer.
No, you're actually... And you do a pretty good Marvin the Martian yourself. Not bad at all. All right.
Hey, well, I'm multi-talented, and I can book acts, man, so... No, no.
you can come in.
I know
of
a job opening,
The
sir.
Interesting thing here is where it says that you have a diverse talent for talking with musicians, actors, and comedians.
Hey, would you like to be on the Rick Emerson Show? Oh, great.
Really? Are you going to list the long number of celebrities you successfully booked on the program?
No, but it's just... See,
You've got space for three more words here at the bottom.
Let's put it here in the real perspective. I get out of college. This is my first non-paying job that I've ever had in radio. And this, what I've done is I answer the phone calls, I book guests, and occasionally I splice together a commercial and get you coffee.
You know, so, now, how do you down on yourself.
How do you become the voice of a major client, you know?
So you're saying you need someone to create a little bit of... Dennis?
I was going to say, yeah, Scotty, who didn't take their caffeine pill this morning? I mean, I've heard you be absolutely 100% on top of your game and want to be a part of the Rick Emerson Show. I am blessed to come in once a week. You are here 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. You come in here, here's your opportunity, and you sound like someone kicked your dog.
It sounds like somebody needs to learn the subtle advertising art of puffery.
That's me talking now, but the... The actual bio reflects this guy who's just totally, you
know. It's all perception, Scotty.
Yeah, they don't know any. They don't know any better.
Well, there you go. The bio makes it sound like I'm some rising star of the metro area.
You are a rising star. You are a risen star. You're the star in our sky, Scotty J.
I did ask you to co-host my show a couple times.
See, there you go.
There you go. I
better put that on there. Yes,
yeah.
I ought to put that on there.
This email says he is an impersonator. He impersonates an effective call screener every single day. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Scotty J.
All right.
God bless you, sir. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We got more coming up, including more of Tim Riley, the top five, and so forth.
The guy sounds like someone just shot his mom or something.
Boy, that the impersonation thing was... I saw that Sarah, you started just averting your eyes. Like, you were just sort of uncomfortably looking at the floor. That was really wonderful. All right.
I just really didn't think you'd do it again.
Yeah, me too. I thought I'd get a hold of...
I feel like we should be nicer to Scotty today. I feel like you're right. He's at his breaking point.
Well, you never find the breaking point, Sarah, unless you look for it. You never know how far is too far until you keep on walking.
He's going to be reaching for that pack of Marv Reds today. You know it.
Well, that's a win-win scenario. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're moments away from the top five rock and roll junkies in honor of Lindsay Lohan today. This is the best email ever. Rick, I cannot stop laughing at the news regarding the Britney Spears photo shoot. I just cannot get a vision of a greasy-faced Britney squatting on a toilet with a bunched-up, stained, too small dress. She's alternately snorting drugs off of and taking a bite out of a chicken drumstick while her dog is pooping on the ground as she rolls her skull, eyes, shrieking, "Y'all, I think the ceiling is going to fall on me!" It really is the best thing ever. Thank you, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, counting down the top five, here's Dennis Pitzenbarger.
Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count.
All right, and in honor of Lindsay Lohan, we are now counting down the top five rock and roll junkies. Dennis Pitzenbarger.
Number six of the top five rock and roll junkies goes to Amy Winehouse.
Scotty just really wanted to hear this song.
Scotty desperately wanted to hear this today. And he wanted this to be Lindsay's, like a Lindsay Watch theme. And Sarah pointed out that that's been done by every morning show on Earth. I mean, I don't know that definitively, but you just know
but
in your heart.
It seems like it would, yeah. And then Scotty got all defensive. Like, oh, listen, another morning shows? What are you doing?
His response was, well, what if we put a car crash over the top of it? So... doesn't really work. It's just too new and too famous. If it was either famous or new, it'd be okay. But it's too obvious right now. So we are going to have to start thinking about a Hillary Watch theme, though. Time is drawing near. I mean, even if she just runs, even if she didn't get elected, we're going to have a Hillary Watch theme.
What about Basama or Amasama Babama? Whatever his name is.
Hello, Scotty. How are you today?
Hey, no, I don't say I know anything. Hey, number five in the list of top five rock and roll junkies, of course, one of my favorite people without a lower jaw, Alice in Chains.
Lane Staley. This is not a bad song, actually. This is off Jar of Flies, which is, in my opinion, this is kind of their best work. That second acoustic EP they did. This has got that creepy video where they're all puppets going to the circus.
I remember that.
Yeah. This is a cool song, and it's got like an orchestral sort of a thing. This is, I mean, I make a lot of fun of Alice in Chains. I didn't really care for most of their electric stuff, but their acoustic EPs were really good. This is another one of those things where the guy, Layne Staley, vanished for like 3 months, and everybody just sort of assumed, like, well, he's moldering away in a house somewhere. He's like, what's his name, that talk show host in Seattle? You just know you're going to find him inside somebody's wall. Yeah, and this is where there's the weird lion taming part in this video right here. It was like a, it's like a puppet stop motion thing. All right. Counting down the top five rock and roll junkies of all time.
Number four, Eric Clapton.
Not so much now, but certainly in his day. People sort of forget that Eric Clapton used to be cool. Eric Clapton is kind of like your...
Yeah, memory.
Well, it was before any of us in this room were alive, I think. Eric Clapton was... People forget that he was really cool and really great, and he was in three groundbreaking bands. He was in Cream, you know, White Room, and Sunshine of Your Love. He was in Derek and the Dominoes, who did the Layla album, which is one of the most groundbreaking rock albums of all time. He was in Blind Faith. And then, of course, he had a solo career with things like After Midnight and Wonderful Tonight. But then he got married and had children and became a colossal pussy. And more to the point, he stopped using drugs. And I'm not saying he became a pussy because he quit using drugs, but they did coincide with each other. But he had this heroin jag. Here's a great little rock and roll story that I'll tell quickly. He recorded the entire Layla album for Patty Harrison, George Harrison's wife, with whom he was in love. He recorded the entire album, basically, and went and sort of surprised her with it and said, look, I'm in love with you, I know you're with George, but I've written and recorded this entire album, this Layla album for you. Please leave your husband because I'm in love with you. And she, according to most versions of the story, heard the album, listened to the album, and then rejected him. And then he just vanished for 3 years and just never left his house. He just stayed in his apartment and just did heroin for 3 years. Never came out, never saw the light of day. People thought he was dead. They would see him and he had the huge Howard Hughes beard. Didn't cut his fingernails. Just totally went crazy. And then rehabbed himself and now he's lame. But once upon a time was a big junkie and was very cool. Kind of a shame, actually. He's just so... He's too squeaky clean for everybody's taste now. But what are you going to do?
I've heard people that are guitarists, lead guitarists, say that he is still among the best guitarists ever, though.
As a player, he's amazing. It's just that he's... You know, he just kind of burned... I mean, I guess I'd rather have him soft and alive than hard and dead. But he did kind of... burn out whatever creativity he had, and he got, you know, I think as his demons left, his desire to make meaningful music left too. So, and he never really did, I think, recover from the whole rejection by Patty Harrison. So, anyway.
Speaking of death, two out of its four band members have actually, I think, been clinically dead. Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood for number three.
Just an entire band of junkies. It's amazing. I mean.
Have you read the book?
Oh, yeah. You know, Gene Simmons optioned that to make a new movie, The Dirt. Gene Simmons is making the movie of The Dirt, the Motley Crue story. Yeah. It is just so staggering that they're all alive. I mean, you talk about a just improbability off the charts.
This is the story that I always give is, or I remember about them, is the fact that they had, someone was, it was with Ozzy Osbourne on the Ozfest tour, one of the first years when Motley Crue was on it. And it was something about who could gross each other out.
Yeah.
And Nikki Sticks was like, you know, eating ants and snorting.
He was snorting ants. Tommy Lee, I think, was snorting ants off the pavement.
Yeah. I don't know if that was Ozzy
and
or
then
Tommy.
It ended in someone, I think Ozzy, drinking a foul substance from someone else's body.
Yes.
That's there. That's the reaction. Counting down the top five rock and roll junkies of all time.
Speaking of, number two, who else but Ozzy Osbourne?
You know, it's funny. He's another one. He's a Lindsay Lohan type where he constantly claims that he's clean and sober. And he's after every album, he's like, I'm finally sober and it's great to be recording. He just put out this new album, Black Rain, which is really, really good. And yet I saw an interview with him where he's like, and it's the first album I've ever recorded sober. I mean, so again, he's claiming this new album, which is fantastic. He's again claiming the new album is the first one he's done without being high or drunk. So God only knows if it's true. When he records the follow-up album, you know, we'll hear the same thing undoubtedly. But this is from, in my opinion, the last good Ozzy record. until this recent one. This is from No Rest for the Wicked, which is really, really great.
Now, I know that you've been a person that's been forced to listen to a lot of country music, and I cannot remember off the top of my head, who was the country artist that stuttered, and then when he sang?
Mel Tillis.
Mel Tillis. Ozzy Osbourne is that equivalent in the rock and roll world. You cannot understand anything he says, gets up on stage, like he's just like he's an English major.
Yeah. No, it's another guy who has just ingested such huge amounts of drugs and alcohol that, I mean, I think he could probably be clean and sober for years and he would still just sound brain damaged because he's just put so many toxins into his head.
Sounds brain damaged?
Yes. Counting on the, by the way, we should pause to note, sadly, that Sharon Osbourne's father actually died today, and I think he was the guy who ran Jet Records, which is the company that gave Ozzy his solo break after he got kicked out of Black Sabbath and was expected to die within the year. And Sharon Osbourne's dad gave him his first shot at a solo career, so he died today, so that's sad. Counting down the top five rock and roll junkies.
Topping off the list, of number one, Rolling Stones.
And especially Keith. And there's really nothing else to say about it.
How many jokes can you think of his liver?
I think I'm beyond the point of making Keith Richards jokes. I think I'm just going to retire them because really,
is it kind of a George Burns thing where it's like you polluted your body so bad you have like preserved it while you're still alive?
Mean, he just can't be killed. That's the thing. He is impervious. I mean, that's obviously the deal. He just cannot be stopped. Good song choices, Scotty. Every one of these, well done, and they're all about drugs, most of these songs. Dr. Feelgood, this one especially. Great song.
There's just so many bands that I can think of. I mean, you're thinking of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Guns N' Roses, another one.
You know, what am I thinking of? Can't even think of the song. The song about heroin. Used to be
Mr. Brownstone.
Mr. Brownstone. Thank you.
Well spotted. All right, there you go. Top five rock and roll junkies. We're back after this to wrap it up. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. By way of a public service announcement, we should report some distressing news. We have this, our good friends at Vanished Twin Photography, who have done our Horns Across the Hawthorne thing and many other fine photographs, apparently had a burglary. So that's unfortunate. So this is your fine listeners. Work in secondhand or used equipment shops. Pay attention to a new group of Canon 10 megapixel cameras and related equipment that might show up. If you see a lot of that, you might want to give it an extra look, as they say, to find out from whence that derives. So that sucks beyond words. So keep an eye out for that Canon 10 megapixel equipment that comes your way. Just put a little bit of an eye on it to see kind of where that came from.
Call me so I can kneecap somebody.
Seriously, and then we'll put a beat down on somebody. All right, so this is, we're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger. There's so much Lindsay Lohan stuff we didn't get to. Do you want to tell the story about the bet, or do you want to tell the story about why she may have gone on a bender?
Oh, I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you want to tell the story about the bet, or do you want to talk about why she may have gone on the bender?
Well, there are three of them, yeah. Well, where did it go? Yeah, well, there are just all kinds of stories coming out about her now. I don't care whichever one you think is more interesting.
You said that she was dating. Well, she was dating some guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So she was dating this guy, this model, this guy named Callum Best. He's a British model, and it's reported that he dumped her on Friday because he said that she was too boring when she was sober and he didn't want to give up drinking.
Yeah, excellent.
And then there's another story about her, how she made a $50,000 bet with some of her socialite friends that she would sleep with David Beckham by the end of the year.
That's not going to be happening.
Yeah, it's
really.
Not
can you imagine any guy right now that would be like, yeah, she's on the tops of my. I mean, there was that time. I remember she was just the hottest thing ever.
She just won Maxim's the hottest woman of the year, like less than a month ago.
Those results are. I think those results were tabulated some time ago. That's no longer the case. Dennis Pitzenbarger, hello, sir.
Hey.
Congratulations on a successful remote broadcast. This past weekend.
I appreciate that. We had a lot of fun at the Car Toys 15th annual tent sale. You know, the thing that was actually the greatest, and I'll give the biggest prop to, not only I know that you were here in the studio helping the electronic side of it, and again, big props to James, the board op, but you know, it really goes out to the engineers, because at some point, about halfway through the show, the engineer was actually adjusting the board, keeping us on the air while holding our canopy down from the gust-like winds that were trying to take our studio away.
They're
so
pros.
My utmost thanks goes to the crew and the technical staff at AM 970.
And then what's coming up on Miles Around this weekend?
Well, we're back in the saddle, right back in the studio. I got some news on a breakthrough with hybrid technology and diesel. We'll be testing a couple vehicles, the VW Jetta GLI Fahrenheit, and I also have a little Mini Cooper convertible, so that ought to be fun. And obviously, at all times, you can go to the website, milesaround.com. If you click on that website at the top there, there is an icon for pdxautoclick.com. That is the website that I love people to shop versus others. There's about 40-plus dealers and over 10,000 cars. So if you need a vehicle or if you want to just find out about what we're talking about with new vehicles, just check it out. It's all at milesaround.com.
It is the FARC.com.
It is the Drudge Report of auto shopping.
Dennis Pitzenbarger, listen to him Saturdays 9 to 11, immediately preceded by Car and Driver Radio. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Dick Giuliano, Lisa Goddard, and James Roop, as well as Dennis Pitzenbarger right here. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Summit State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, the PA, is Scotty J, who is available to perform at your wedding, birthday, or bat mitzvah. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next. Don and Mike after that. We'll see you all tomorrow at 11 a.m. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to be safe. Watch out for snakes. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
I barely knew her.